Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
She looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps. Maybe a Glengowrie. Any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
The world's all right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. Andy is back from a hellacious 2 days of paying homage to the porcelain god, right?
Yes. Well,
is that a good way to put it?
Oftentimes it was a bowl while sitting on the porcelain god. But
so
you get the idea.
Y'all better now?
Y'all better?
Yeah. I wouldn't say all better.
No?
I'm getting it. How's Tom Brady doing? Is he fine at this point?
Doing really well.
Well, I'm probably doing really well.
According to the interview that he had on the Toronto radio station last night, he is doing fine.
590,
Eric,
the fan.
You listened and did
to the whole thing. Yeah.
A very, very nice report,
thank you.
I must say, on Patriots.com today.
Nice.
Thank you. Actually, it was last night.
Well, yes, last night.
Thank you.
But I read it this morning. And very well done. Very well
appreciate
done.
Appreciate it.
So we're all back here, and 2G is in the booth.
Useless as always.
No, yep. He's doing all right. He's doing okay.
Drop the ball on lunch again.
Oh, while I'm thinking, I have a good project for you and the doctor. Yesterday, I did a search for PFW in Progress, and I put it in quotes, so it had to be together, you know. And if you get
I
to
love
like
how he adds that part, that's a two gender
well,
right there. You know, because it has to be together.
I know, but
if you get beyond like the top pages, which are obviously links to a lot of our stuff. There's a lot of references to us, like made on other websites.
This is on Google, you said?
Yeah, Google. A lot of websites
you ever hear
are
of it?
Mentioning
no.
us.
Go on AskJeeves.com.
And I'm thinking that a good project for you and the doctor would be to go and print out those things so we don't lose them. Because you know how things have a tendency to kind of disappear on the net sometimes. So, you know, when you have some free time.
Doesn't he usually preach the other thing that once it's on the net, it's out there
well,
forever?
It is.
Careful. It's permanent.
But it's a little harder to find. But, maybe we can get a compilation of all these places that were being mentioned and cited. And I know Steeler Fury called me out, called me a very sad, sad man. And
if two gender can't get it done, I'm sure Stripples will have it for us in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. So, but you know,
as
an ongoing thing,
you
know, let's capture all this these places that were being mentioned.
Now, is this just to pat ourselves on the back, or what? What is
just to kind of understand the reach that we have.
It's global.
Because
it's worldwide.
What I found out,
it's
not just Patriots fans that are listening to us. It's fans of other teams are listening to us.
Now, why is that?
A, because their team doesn't do anything. B, to just find stuff that they can use against us, I guess. You know.
So should we
sort of like
more?
The way that I read Bill Polian's thing on the Colts.
You
site.
Don't just read. Didn't you listen to something too?
Whatever.
You do.
If something just happened, I always go to see what he has to say about it. Yeah.
It's called obsessed.
Maybe. Maybe. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. And what are we doing these days, guys? A little quiet now, although there was an
announcement. Well, we probably should talk about that Brady thing. No, it was kind of big news.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And also there was, I don't know if it was, it wasn't an announcement, but according to Chris Gasper.
Both papers, actually.
Both papers. Scotty O'Brien will be named the quarterback's
coach.
No,
Bill O'Brien.
Scott O'Brien is the special teams
Scotty's
guy.
Okay when you're actually talking about him, but now when you're confusing people.
I think this is the time that Andy and I fill our listeners in a little bit. Fred's having a little bit of a tough day. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's wrong with him.
What's up with Ray Maliuga?
No, he started by telling me there's a college team. I was watching some game, and they had two
Oregon linebackers.
State, Oregon, Pac-10.
Maybe it was a Big Ten team.
Maybe Big Ten. Michigan State. They had a pair of linebackers.
Cushing and Maluga?
Well, that's what I said. Well, it actually started when I said, how come Laurinaitis isn't at the Senior Bowl? And he goes, something about USC.
The shine's off USC. Was,
what
was
the
Fred's
hell does
answer.
That mean?
So Andy asked why Laurinaitis isn't at the Senior Bowl. Fred's answer was, the shine's kind of off USC.
Who has like six players in the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
So, you're having issues today.
Fred's having a little bit of a difficult day. It's Bill O'Brien who reportedly is going to be quarterback's
which, if we're going to be accurate, was reported here maybe first.
Well, no,
speculated here first. Projected.
Well,
it's projected.
And in fairness, I'll guarantee you, we didn't have any less to go on than those two papers.
But,
that,
but what we did is we skipped a step. We automatically kind of assumed that he would be the offensive coordinator.
No, we didn't.
We actually
said. We said that he would kind of take the same route as McDaniels. Not
exactly what he
– Exactly.
Right, but we
and
didn't
that's
say
what
that
doing.
They'll probably name him quarterback's coach.
But
we never
I,
really
I
said
we
actually
that's what
did.
They did with McDaniels.
No, but we discussed that. We said,
I know that's what they did with McDaniels.
And that's what we said.
And that's what we said. There's a good chance he'll be quarterback's coach and call the plays but not be coordinator in a titular sense. And I said that's a Cole Bra, and you said something stupid after that.
You know, in the serious way, yeah, we speculated it. We didn't have anything to go on. Obviously, the papers are citing sources, but, you know, my point is
I could have said,
when I see
citing
sources
PFW is now reporting.
Yeah, I mean, this is not necessarily something that is coming out of left field. I think that this was something that was certainly logical and you could foresee.
And Bill wouldn't comment on it. Did you see that? There was one little line in the Globe story. I guess Gasper's at Mobile for the Senior Bowl, said Bill – smiled and declined comment when asked about the coaching changes or whatever. So didn't come from Bill.
Okay.
Not on the record.
Yeah, and he is at Mobile, as you just said, and there were pictures of him with Bill Parcells.
Yes.
On Mike Reese's blog.
Taken by a fan, yes.
Yeah.
I'm efforting to get those for our paper because I thought it was a pretty interesting photo.
It is.
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday. I didn't, you weren't around when you were dealing with your issues.
Make light of that.
I'll tell you.
Died.
Another thing where I found PFW in Progress mentioned was on Reese's blog.
Uh-oh.
One of his, you know, how you
nothing
could,
good could come out
no,
of that.
No, no, no. One of his commenters of his blog said, you know, I'm really fed up with, I forget which station. It might have been EEI. I stick with Felger and Comcast, Reese's blog, and PFW in Progress to get my news.
Excellent.
So
nice.
That's the kind of stuff that you need the doctor and 2G in there to take care of.
Exactly.
And it was nobody you recognized as a regular.
No, they're all anonymous, you know, commenters.
Are.
I don't know who
okay.
it was.
Oh, okay.
You know, might have been you.
It wasn't me.
And
no.
If so, good job.
Was it tennis player 16?
No. Who's that?
Didn't that used to be you
17?
On something?
No.
I just watched Dan Orlovsky run out of the back of the end zone on that play. It's amazing.
Well, the best part of it is he was like 3 yards out
of
the end zone.
How far out of bounds he was and for how long before he realized it.
Nearly ran over the official who stands out of bounds, so he's not in the way.
All right, so we got Bill O'Brien and we got Brady's radio interview yesterday. Mm-hmm. Eric, why don't you fill us in on that?
He talked – the big thing that surprised me was that he talked to a station in Toronto, and at the beginning of the show, the host explained why – it was him who was chosen. I guess Brady pitches this product called MyoMed.
It's a sports
which is
cream.
Like a sports cream, like a sports Bengay sports cream kind of thing.
Allowed in Canada and hasn't.
No, apparently
let's not go down that road.
I don't know.
But why a Toronto station?
Well, the guy who hosts the show said that the company sent him a sample of the product back in September or something, and you know, like a free trial thing. And he tried it and he kind of liked it. And they got back to him like a couple of months later and said, "What did you think?" And he said, "Oh, it was good. It worked. You know, I liked it. It worked." And they're like, "Oh, great. Would you like to talk to Tom Brady?" And he's like, yeah, sure. What's the connection? He's like, well, he pitches, you know, he's one of our spokespeople. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. And he said it didn't even occur to him that this was the first time Brady would be talking since he was injured on opening weekend. So he booked Brady for the show, and then they promoted it on their website. And all of a sudden he was getting all this attention from all over the U.S. and all over the football world saying, oh, you're getting Tom Brady and this and that. So then it hit him that, oh, I'm talking to him for the first time and no one else has. And
I still think it's odd.
I thought it was kind of odd, too.
It's definitely odd.
So
now, is this a big, like, would this be the Fan of
It's called
Canada?
The Fan. It's actually
No, but
the
I mean size-wise. They're all called the Fan.
I think they're probably the sports station in Toronto. Yeah. I mean, they spent.
I mean, it's not like Toronto isn't a big market. It's a huge city.
It is.
No, but it just has nothing to do with the Patriots.
It's odd to me that he would choose a Toronto radio station to be the first one that he's going to go on.
The only thing I could think of
was. That's odd to me.
The only thing
he's going to go play for the Bills, and the Bills are moving to Toronto.
No. Well, the only thing I can think of is that he's under contract and he has no choice.
What I was thinking of was that maybe he was trying to downplay the interview and figured, well, maybe he didn't expect the radio station to do all the promotion that they did for it. And maybe he just figured, well, I'll do an interview here and maybe it won't get picked up too much.
The other question I have is, this is the only station that this company sent samples to.
That's another question. That's another good question. Yeah.
And I would imagine any other station that they sent samples to that they followed up and said, would you like to talk to Tom Brady, would have said yes, too.
Yeah, like someone in Boston or, you know, somewhere in New England.
The U.S.
Yeah.
Well, we have a clip. 2G has the clip of where he talks about his rehab. Why don't you play that, 2G?
It's going really well. It's going really well. You know, it's anyone who's come back from injuries that require surgery. It's just a process. And, you know, there's some good days, some bad days, and you just you just got to keep plugging through. I mean, that's life. Like I said, things come up, and you just got to focus your energy and attention on all the positive things that you can gain, and it tests you in a lot of ways. So, like I said, I'm excited about the process. I'm excited about the work. I've had so many wonderful people that have helped me, and I've said I'm the most well taken care of knee patient in history. So I'm very, very fortunate.
I like your boobs.
All right, so that's definitely him.
Now, he didn't say that then.
Now, do you have the vulgar part of the interview?
Yeah, that was another
question. Where he says the S-H-I word?
He said
it happens.
He's shy.
He said it happens, only he didn't say it. He used a word that rhymed with it.
He was talking about Middle East politics.
Yeah.
So anyway.
But, you know, he answered the questions about the rehab and such. He may not have given an overly detailed answer, but he did answer it and talked about other football-related things, about the exodus of coaches and whatnot from the Patriots so far this season. He talked about the Super Bowl matchup and how, you know, he was – oh, that's the other thing. Fans were saying all season, writing into us, saying, why isn't he on the sidelines? Doesn't he care? Isn't he playing? From what Brady said, he watched every second of every game and said he was the team's biggest cheerleader and was really upset when they didn't make the playoffs but thought they had a great year overall, going 11-5, and you know, reference the fact that they just killed the Cardinals by 40 points, and now they're in the Super Bowl, and you know, kind of a looking back, sort of a what if kind of thing. So he was on for about 10 minutes with those guys, and they talked a little bit about that product for you know a minute or so, and he talked about the inauguration and going to Africa a couple of years ago, and how he would like to do something more like that if called upon again. Mm-hmm. But it was mostly football. Related and
well, this product is it like a Bengay type thing?
That's I think it's exactly what it is. Yeah. Like, yeah,
because that's what I'm interested in. Do they have
you're
an
interested
infomercial?
In that? Oh, do they have an infomercial?
Yeah,
I don't know, but Brady's the spokesperson, so you might be able to.
I just think it's odd that this is the first we're hearing about. I don't know. That's all.
I agree. You've been gay for a while.
Well,
now.
They have. You know, they also have. I saw their website because I wanted to see what this was all about. LaDainian Tomlinson is also a spokesperson for them. And there was.
But he does his interviews like in what, Australia?
I don't know. I don't know where he does his. Yeah. But
I'm with Fred on this one. I think it's a little odd.
And then
all of the money.
Brady said there's a money trail.
It may not have been U.S. approved yet.
No, he's used it.
He's been using it. Yeah,
I've seen it in his locker.
He said also said he used it. Actually, he used it on his arm and his elbow, his throwing shoulder and his elbow, and he used it on his ankle prior to Super Bowl 42.
Oh, that's not a good endorsement.
No, he said he hurt the ankle before the Super Bowl.
I know
Fred.
He did. It's supposed to help you heal.
Now, what is? Did you research the product at all?
Just a little bit. I went to their website. I wanted
like
to see
Asper
what it was in.
Cream or one of those.
It's kind
of
it
stuff. In
it looks like it's exactly that kind of thing.
But why is it different?
I didn't go that far into detail to look in the specifics of it. But
I'd follow the money trail. Who owns the station? Does Tom Brady own the station? Does he know somebody who owns the station? Something going on there.
Okay. Well, that's why you're a journalist. Find out.
I'm a journalist.
All right. So that's good work by Eric to monitor that and update us with the pertinent information. No breaking news.
And tying those two together, clearly the best cleft chin duo of quarterback coaches and quarterbacks in the NFL now. You notice that Bill O'Brien has the massive... that's what it's called, right? Cleft?
Cleft chin.
It is. Yeah. That's it is what it's called. I wouldn't know Bill O'Brien if he walked by me.
That's why you're a journalist, Paul.
I've never met him. You have. You had a long talk
with him on
one of the road trips.
Very
you saw
nice
him in the hotel.
Big fan.
I've never met Bill O'Brien.
Speaking of quarterback
looking forward
coaches,
to doing so.
Did you notice that Josh McDaniels is now hiring his brother?
Yes.
To be an intern.
To be
what Josh started out as when he got
to be an
NFL.
Intern. Yeah. Okay. Don't try to make more of this than it is because he left and now you got to rip him down and tear him up to shreds.
You know how that goes.
He's an intern.
Fred did good. He gave him a week. He gave him a week. Now he's just like anybody else who left the organization.
He's the enemy.
Oh, one last thing on the Brady thing. He ended the interview kind of with the quote that we kind of have been saying this whole offseason with all the defections and such. He said, as long as we have Robert and Jonathan Kraft and Coach Belichick, I always think we're going to be just fine.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's what we've been saying all along, too.
There you go.
From number 12.
What are you doing?
He's flailing around.
Al from George is on the phone.
No, I have that clip of Brady quick.
Okay, let's play that before we talk to Al. Hold on,
Al. Be playing.
Yeah, you know, it's you play this game long enough and happens, so to speak. So.
Yeah, ain't that true?
The reality is it happens to everybody.
I like those guys.
You know, I'm in a new part of my career and in a different process that I'm excited about, rehabilitation and different challenges. And, you know, it's been the tough part is you're not experiencing something you love to do. But, you know, you get over that and you focus on what you got to focus on. And you just say, okay, well, it happened. I'm moving on. And that's what we've done.
They stole my pot.
He swears every time he's on the radio.
All right. Those guys have the real radio.
They sounded like they were smoking 30 packs a day.
I'm a big
fan.
They
had that gravelly.
That's the truth.
Even when they're just kind of like. You know, making like groans. It's like radio groan.
And they have that smoker's cough.
Right.
Like you can tell. Yeah.
Like it's lava's coming up through the throat.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Is that what you have to do if you want to make it in radio? Just start smoking away.
It can't hurt. Can't hurt.
It can hurt.
It can kill you.
Actually, it can kill you, Fred.
All right, now Al from George's on the phone. Al, how you doing?
Good afternoon, boys. How are you?
Speaking of radio voices, Al in Georgia.
What's going on?
Same old stuff.
You know, you try to resist the temptation, but I got to plead guilty to being slightly ticked that one of the Super Bowl participants is a team that we beat by 40 points the next to last game of the season. That just sucks.
Yes,
somehow
it
just sucks.
Don't resist the temptation. It's an absolute disgrace to the National Football League. They stink.
It's even though it's 2009 now, it's still the 2008 NFL season, so we're still embracing the hate in 08.
Right.
So don't resist the temptation.
Yeah. Hate the Cardinals because they're an embarrassment. Their fans are frauds. They waited till the second game before but we're going to show up for the second game. Now they get a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Here's how I look at it.
I hate them.
This is how I figure it out in my head.
This ought to be good.
No, if Arizona wins... Mm-hmm. I can sleep well knowing we're better than them.
Mm-hmm. 40 points better.
That's right.
Well, you're going to think you're better than Pittsburgh anyway.
Just so you know, you and Mother Nature were better than them.
See, Fred, I know where you're coming from, but I actually would sleep better knowing if Pittsburgh won because that's a team that beat us.
I know.
I could live with them being the champs, but I couldn't. I'd have a harder time living with the Cardinals, who we
fluke.
Just waxed their asses at like 40.
That ruins the whole NFL season.
Who was it? Who said it yesterday? No Sox said it yesterday. If Arizona wins, the whole season's a fluke, and we can forget about the whole season.
We said all season.
Matt says it's like it didn't happen.
But we said all season that that was the kind of season it was. There were really no great teams.
So don't worry about it.
Right.
I've moved on. I have moved on.
I'm rooting for the Cardinals. The other thing
that it shows is that it really means absolutely nothing of how you're playing. And I know that everybody made such a big deal of what the Giants did in Week 17 last year against the Patriots and how they played hard, and that really propelled them. And then the next year, the team did the exact opposite of what the Giants did. They completely laid down the last month of the season. They took all those games off. They openly admitted they took the games off. Winston Hunt talking about, we just wanted to work on the running game. I mean, you know, what a joke. They didn't even show up. And now here they are, you know, 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl.
All right, here's a 2009 question, fellas. Moving on here. We're playing this game in England.
Yep.
And I know the schedule, I don't believe the schedule is out yet for anybody.
No, that's correct.
No, but we know when that game is.
Do we have any kind of a feeler that game is going to be set up either going into a bye week, coming out of a bye week? I mean, is there going to be some kind of travel-friendly?
You're guaranteed coming out that you get the bye week.
Right. After that game, they'll go into a bye week.
Okay. So that much we know, the bye week will be what? November 2nd, I guess.
Right.
It's somewhere pretty much in the middle of the season. I think it's the last week of October. Is it week 6?
It's October 25th.
October 25th, yeah. You're right then, Al. That'd be like the November 1st would be the
bye week.
Right. Yep.
Last question. Next year is the 50th anniversary of the starting of the American Football League, and us
this year.
Old farts that remember going to games at Fenway Park. And
what's your favorite memory of those games?
Fenway Park?
Yeah.
Well, I remember... The thing I think that stands out is, other than I watched a game on a Friday night where Gino Cappelletti kicked a winning field goal at the buzzer to beat the Houston Oilers, you know, that was a great game. But the way they had Fenway set up, as you guys might know, is that there were bleachers up against the left field wall.
Right.
So you had the third baseline was like one end zone, and the bullpens out and right were where the other end zone was. So that's how, if you can kind of visualize Fenway, that's how they had it laid out for football.
Right.
And it really wasn't that bad, you know, for football, really. I mean, obviously when the Red Sox got good in 67, they didn't appreciate having the Patriots in there chewing up the field, and, you know, they had to go play somewhere else. But, you know, it really was not that bad a stadium for football. But I saw games at BC and Harvard Stadium and what have you. But my question is this. When we're going to do, I guess the league is going to do this throwback situation where the teams from the old AFL are going to play each other, and then they're going to be in the jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know if the Patriots are going to be in the Patriot helmet, or are they going to be in that first helmet from 1960, which is not that bad? It may not be as good as Pat the Patriot.
The tricorn hat.
Do we know if we're going that direction or if we're going Pat the Patriot?
I don't know. I don't honestly know the answer to that.
But I mean, I wouldn't be upset either way. Either way would be fine.
Oh, but maybe you play one.
I guess we're going to really go true to the, you know, the first year to the 50th year, then maybe you'd go with the tricorner thing.
Well, Al, I think, and I don't know this, I'm only guessing, I think what they might be doing is a throwback jersey, but the current helmet.
Oh, really?
I think they might be, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I didn't know.
I'm not sure about that. You know.
And I also thought that the uniforms were probably going to be more of the kind of like the 80s version with the stripes on the shoulder there.
I don't know.
Isn't that right?
That I don't know either. But we'll find that out for you.
That would be an interesting. I just, you know, it's kind of a trivial thing. But
yeah. And I'll let you know, weeks 3 and week 6, those are the two
weeks.
Oh,
that's when they're going to do it.
It's already out there, Fred. What do you think? I just made it up.
I thought we weren't supposed to say.
Everybody else is saying it, so I'm saying
it. Okay. All right. Week 3 and week 6.
Week 3 and week 6.
Yep.
I'll stay tuned. Okay. Take care, fellas.
All right, Al.
Have a great day.
So then if you...
They should go tricorned hat.
If you use your deductive powers even more...
You didn't see the dirty look I got for that in the meeting a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stacy said you're not supposed to know that.
Yeah, but
it was already out there.
It was already out there.
Okay. Well, anyway.
So it's my fault that it's already out there,
If you use your deductive powers, you know that week three and week six have to be against other AFC original AFL teams.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So. Call comes to us direct from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
So you can really piece together the schedule a little bit there early
bit.
In the year, first half of the season.
We know when the bye week is. We know when the London game is against, who are we playing?
Tampa Bay.
And so that's one less team that can be an AFL team. So you kind of can get some of the...
we could be playing someone from the AFC East.
Right.
Could be playing the Denver Broncos.
Could be, yep. Denver could be one of those. And then using your powers of reasoning a little bit further, the fact that Josh McDaniels is with Denver now, whatever that game is, could be a primetime game, right?
Game.
You never know.
Yeah. Just morph into Berman.
But don't you think it would look cooler if they had the original logo? Like,
I do.
Because old looks – don't you like turn on a game and going, whoa, what's that?
Yeah, but what sells?
Well, no one buys helmets anyway, so the helmet is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that worked better than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, I figured he'd have something to come back at you with that.
The Tricorn logo is a cool logo.
And it's so unique. I would say 20% of Patriots fans even really know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that,
I agree with you.
So now you've opened
the whole season. Was it used?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so.
The whole first season.
But now you actually open up another line of sales and merchandise for people who may think they have everything.
Even hats
with
that logo.
And you know that today's culture is having unique hats, unique T-shirts.
And old is new.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, we got Flanders on the line. We're going to ask him.
We should really get him on the line.
Nostalgia is big.
Because I know there's a whole 50th anniversary line of clothing coming out that will be available in the pro shop. And why shouldn't he be on here promoting that? I don't understand.
You know, he actually doesn't work in the building anymore.
Oh, is that right?
Right?
He's been fired?
No, he works
in a warehouse somewhere.
Oh, not even on the grounds?
Yeah, no, like he's been moved to – it's in a different town. I forget what town it's in. But
oh.
Some off-site warehouse.
Well, John in L.A. is on the phone. John does not work in the pro shop, but he is on the phone. John, how are you doing?
He does not work.
Good. How are you?
Good.
Andy, you feeling better?
I am. Thank you.
Good.
If that was me.
I have a series of quick questions leading up to a point.
Lightning round.
Okay. Do you agree that the Pats would have been a tough out if the defense had been better/healthier?
Of course.
Yeah.
Right, because the offense was getting it done and Castle was... You know, he was a big boy at that point. All right. Do you think that the D will improve in this offseason? Do you think it's likely that it will improve?
Yes. I don't
know.
I thought it was going to improve last year. So, I think
it took some steps. There was injuries, but they took some steps with Mayo and...
I think they're going to go out, John, and sign some free agents that they need, kind of like they did in 2007 with the offense. That's my reaction.
Right. So, do we think it's safe to assume that Tom Brady in 2009, all things considered, is likely to be better or as good as Matt Castle was in 2008?
Yes.
Right. I have absolutely no idea how to answer that question.
Okay. Yes.
Right. So taking all of these
into account. I don't know how anybody could make that statement.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, Josh McDaniels is a loss. But my feeling is that the difference between Tom Brady, even taking everything into account, compared to Matt Castle, is greater than the difference between Josh McDaniels, who he admittedly did a great job, and whomever replaces him with the play calling. Would you agree with that, or no?
Is this like the long way of just saying the Patriots would be better in 2009 than they were in 2008? Because I would certainly wholeheartedly agree with that.
A little bit, yeah. Okay. I guess it is. But I think that
the
a
defense
lot of
is willing to stipulate that none of these men were at the meeting at 0600. if
the others were not.
Well, I mean, I think there's a major drop off in play caller. I mean, it took Josh McDaniels 3 years, 4 years to get it to what he was. So I don't just automatically think that they're going to all be fine and dandy there.
That's true, but they get the benefit of having experienced breaking Josh McDaniels in and some of the pitfalls that go with that kind of transition.
If Brady is healthy, I don't think that's a huge concern, losing Josh McDaniels. If he's not, and he's not able to do what he normally does, then I think that that's a bigger factor, the fact that you might have some concerns. So not only physically is he having some questions and concerns in his mind about what he can and can't do, but mentally he's not sure if Bill O'Brien or Bill Belichick or whoever's calling the plays is doing the same thing that Josh McDaniels was doing. So there's a chance that both physically and mentally Brady is not at 100%.
Well, I think mentally
first
he won't
be. First play of the season, Brady runs the ball. You watch.
Okay, good. Right. Mentally,
he's really having a great
day. I think he's going to have problems because I think he's had problems when Charlie left. I think he had problems when Deion Branch left. I think he's shown himself to be loyal to the people he develops a bond with almost to the detriment of moving forward, getting past it. It takes him whatever the anti-honeymoon period is. He has a window there where it hurts him a little bit. And I think you're going to see that again, compounded by the fact that he's coming back from major adversity in terms of the injury.
And I kind of disagree with you a little bit that it took McDaniels a while to get to. I agree he got better each year, but I thought he was. I didn't think he was that bad a play caller when he was doing it as the quarterback's coach.
I mean, I think play calling is. I think it's hard to measure, but I just find it hard to believe if you asked him or you asked Bill that he was as good 4 years ago as he was when he left.
No, I just said I think he got better each year, but right. I didn't think he was. I didn't think he was, like, there was much of a learning curve, I guess, is what I'm saying. I think he was pretty good when he started it.
I think he would admit there was a learning curve, and I think this guy will admit 3 years from
now. I think the very fact that they didn't immediately say, oh, you know, Josh is calling plays, we kind of had to find that out by watching, tells you that even they think that there's a learning curve.
Right.
You know?
There's always a learning curve, but I'm saying I don't think it's not like he was awful. And then he got really
good. No, it wasn't a noticeable.
No,
like,
it wasn't that.
Oh
noticeable.
My God, I can't believe the call right. plays are calling.
That's my point.
But I think there's a tempo. There's a. I really thought that, and maybe it's just my imagination, but that this year with Castle, the types of plays that he called at the certain times were like right on the mark. You know,
I mean, he has the experience running the offense. He knows who, you know, what his personnel is, what they can and can't do. And he had a good feel for what he could call in certain situations. Certainly.
All things this guy won't.
But I kind of disagree with that, too, because Josh was never a coordinator before he got that job. O'Brien has been. Granted, it's on the college level, different talent, all that. But he has the experience of doing what it takes to be a coordinator.
True. Sure.
So I think there'll be less of a curve for him even than there was for McDaniels.
You might be right there. That makes perfect sense. He's done it before.
What's he going to do when Tom Brady comes to the sideline and starts chewing him out?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Because he could do that with Josh McDaniels because they were as close as any coach player could be.
That's true.
Well, that's what the offseason is for. They need to establish that relationship, you know?
They going camping in the woods together?
Oh, you need to be a jerk.
That requires him. That requires him, well, them both to be here for
that's
that to
right.
happen.
I'm pretty sure Bill O'Brien will be here.
I'm pretty sure of that, too, yeah.
Tom will be here.
When?
Don't you worry.
When?
Don't you
do you
worry.
Think?
That's what you told me last year. He wasn't here.
And he said, I chose not to compete.
Well, this year is a little different. He's got
and
some
I bought it, too,
to
because
do.
I was on your side. I was going against the Big Head.
Big Head was right. Start of a very strong year for his predictions, save for that Kevin
Falk
right. one.
All right.
Please. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email
Thanks, John.
Address.
Thanks, John.
Drive away 543-7482.
I didn't even know he was still there.
Well, because if you don't say goodbye, if you don't say goodbye to the phone call.
The worst producer in radio.
Dan will never... You know, hang up on the poor guy. He'll just leave him hanging in oblivion.
Or as
Mike
radio.
Tyson would say, Bolivia.
No, because when I listen to the other radio shows, the caller just kind of goes away.
Because they have right. productive producers.
Right.
No, actually, 2G's
like
doing
that?
A very, very good job. One of the comments that I found when searching last night was how good the quality of our production is.
That was from Amelia.
When was that posted?
Even compared to NFL.com.
When was that posted?
I don't know.
That was from his girl, Amelia.
Could have been in the era when we had good production.
No, we... 2G does a good job. You keep it up, 2G.
The era of good production.
Patriots offense.
The golden era.
Kind of like the golden era. We're in
the
golden era of podcast. PFW Progress. That was the era of good production.
Right.
All right. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back with your email.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, Try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 a.m. if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
Wouldn't it be funny if you bought him like a full-size
can't say that.
I can't. That's not good.
I love when he looks at Dan. Like, Dan's going to actually say, no, Fred, you can't say that.
You don't have the rules in there?
12-year-old clown behind the glass.
Can I get a list of words? I thought that was okay.
You thought that was okay,
yeah,
did you?
I did.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say f*** on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
We never did that.
Two Gender, I have a task for you. Supposedly, you know how Fred ends every Thursday with "See you next Tuesday"? Well, supposedly Britney Spears' new song works along those same lines, and it's "If You Can," and it basically spells out F-U-C blank me. Can you find out what the lyrics are, maybe get a clip from that so I can hear it? They're playing it on real radio, so we're allowed to, Fred, because it's a real song with real lyrics.
Well, I guess there's a movement to stop it.
There is a movement to stop it, but the movement has failed, and I want to hear it.
You don't know about Jim Laurinaitis playing
for
Ohio
State. If you can find Amy.
If you can find Amy.
Right.
So that doesn't really sound like it.
No.
I don't really think you have it right.
If you can see
Amy. If you seek Amy.
If you seek Amy.
If you seek Amy.
Can you find it so I can see what it is?
There's a big difference between those two things.
Yeah, because the find, the hard D really gets in the way in that one.
If you seek Amy.
If you seek Amy is clearly intentional.
That is definitely.
If you can find Amy is like, I'm like, that's a bit of a stretch.
If you know where Amy is.
Have you heard of Amy?
Call me.
Can you find a clip of that?
All right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
If you can locate Amy.
2G has ordered food for us.
If you know about Amy's whereabouts.
New caller on the line, Fred. New caller.
Oh.
Long time, first time?
No, first time was Tuesday.
Michael from Puerto Rico is on the line. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. How you doing?
Hola. We're doing great.
Hola. Buenas tardes, caballeros.
Oh, sí, sí.
Again, I can't hear what you guys say, so obviously I'm going to shoot from the hip. Two,
why not?
Tell me that you were talking for about Jay McBee, Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. Yes.
I saw a report on the video Patriots Today webcast or whatever, the video.
Yeah.
And I had never heard him talk. And he spoke so glowingly about Belichick and the Patriots organization that I was dumbfounded. I was so surprised. He's so eloquent. He's actually, he looks so mature. He's actually my age. He's 32 years old, and I can't hold a candle to this guy the way he speaks. And I was just wondering, was there any way, like we would have maybe done a Tony Dungy and named him Bill Belichick's successor? Do you think that would have made any difference?
Well, you know, I think Bill Belichick's going to be here for quite a long time. So, I mean, you know, Josh McDaniels felt the time was right, and I don't think he wanted to stick around, you know, to wait that long. It's right. It's indefinite when Bill Belichick's going to retire. So I think this was the right opportunity for him. And plus,
I'm not sure Bill would have wanted that.
I've
already told you, I think that's dumb. I don't like this whole planning for the future. I mean, the guy at Texas, who's going to be the head coach, who knows when, 15 years from now.
Well, they did it at the Colts.
I know.
But they only had a year.
And we make fun of Bill Polian a lot, but we all think that he's pretty good at what he does. I don't think that's a smart thing that he did.
Now, why is that?
I just think that you run the – first of all, you set up yourself to have these guys hanging around and waiting. Well, is this going to be the year? Is this going to be the year? Or, you know – maybe Jim Caldwell is more concerned.
It was kind of definite. It was kind of next year.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the whole year he didn't know for sure.
Yeah.
And you're wondering, is he concentrating on what he has to do, or is he thinking about being a head coach? I think it puts a lot of pressure on the guy to take over right away.
Plus, you did it for continuity, and he's fired two of the three coordinators already.
I don't like the practice.
If you're an assistant and you agree to do it, I think you have to do it under the stipulation that, hey, look, I'll give you guys a year. And if there's no definitive answer after a year and I get other opportunities, right, I'm going to go.
Right.
Now, and Belichick actually started it, right? I mean, was he the first one who was the head coach in waiting for the Jets?
With the Jets.
And, you know, he might not want to take part in that anymore. Maybe that kind of played out poorly for him.
Right.
So, I mean, he would be the first one who'd have to sign off on it. He would have to approve it as
well, things change. You know, if you're the guy waiting and all of a sudden a new owner comes in or a new GM comes in, these weren't the conditions that I said I would stay for.
Which is why I think it's really dumb. In college, it's one thing because you have recruiting and it's trying to have some continuity. So if Joe Paterno leaves, the kids kind of knew all along that X was going to be the next coach, whatever. But in the pro game, so much changes in 1 year, 2 years, ownership, money, free agents, all that. I don't think it would have made sense here.
All right, Mike.
But following up on Bill Belichick being the first, because Parcells named him the coach in waiting and whatnot, was Mike Tannenbaum with the Jets at that time?
He was, but he wasn't.
Not in the role that he's
in. He was low.
The GM at the time was a guy named Terry Bradway, I believe, right?
I think you were correct.
So it's not like he saw the car wreck from a mile away?
No.
Just didn't like the organization or what?
Bradway was no better, trust me. He was just as bad.
Well, all right.
All right,
guys.
All right, Mike. That's from Puerto Rico. Calling in.
That can't be a cheap call, huh?
What?
Is that an expensive call?
Well, maybe it was Skype.
Well, maybe.
Puerto Rico is a U.S. Whatever. So
it's a territory, so maybe it's not
They might be included in some cell phone plans.
You know what Skype is? Skype would be free. S-K-Y-P-E. That's right.
I bet you they're on some plans.
We're not free.
Not AT&T or the iPhone. I mean, they would never work down there. But
right.
You kind of made Mike sad at the end.
Yeah, he's like, all right.
Okay, well, you know.
You shut down his theory.
Jacobin writes in. Remember him from Cedar Falls, Iowa?
Yes.
Sure.
He says,
Jacobin?
He just says, I want to let 2G know that the sound volume is great and that all of you guys make my Tuesday, Thursdays all the funnier. Thanks for doing what you do. Thoughts. Let's say we trade Castle and we have Brady as our number one and O'Connell as our number two. Let's say Brady still isn't ready to go week one and maybe not for two or three more weeks. Would it not be all that bad to see what O'Connell can do and know at the worst we lose three games that Brady can't play or play in? At least we would have the rest of the season with Brady starting and should be able to make the playoffs with Brady leading the team. I would rather have O'Connell play and see what he can do instead of bringing in a veteran, especially since Belichick showed us that in-house is better than bringing someone new in. Now we can all insert our foots in our mouths. What do you guys think of that idea?
I think losing three games in the NFL and just assuming you're going to win out and make the playoffs is a dangerous, especially, I know we all like to poo-poo this, but they're going to have a pretty difficult schedule. Their schedule is packed with playoff teams and 9, 10, 11 win
teams. Certainly going to be a lot more challenging than this year's.
So to just assume Tom Brady right off can't play first 3 weeks and is going to be hit the ground running literally and ready to play.
All right, so by May, any question that Brady may not start game one, you bring in a veteran?
I think you bring in a veteran.
The right veteran.
I think it all depends on what Bill thinks. See, we don't know.
I'm asking what you think.
But I don't know what Kevin O'Connell can do. Bill does.
Right.
There's a big difference there.
Assuming you drafted him in the third round and you were happy with that draft pick.
Then let him
then
play.
Then I let him play.
Let him play. But okay. You still have to have a veteran because, you know, Castle's not going to be here. I'd rather have a veteran
well, you need
be
a
that third
quarterback,
guy.
Well, regardless.
I know that. But I'd rather have a veteran guy than, say, a guy who's Matt one or Gutierrez. 2 years in the league. You know, someone established who
but
knows that
to
he's
be
not
the right
be
guy.
A,
it's
that's
not,
what I mean.
You know, it's Dante Culpepper is not the right guy.
No.
If Bill is convinced,
Jeff Garcia at $8 million is not the right guy.
If Bill's, I mean,
not at that price.
If
no.
Bill is very very much
but that type of player,
unsure that either one of those guys, Gutierrez or O'Connell, could possibly step in and really play at a level that they need, then I think you would have to go out and sign someone. And the guy I think is the guy would be Jeff Garcia, just because he's, I you know, the West Coast system to me. Is it has some similarities to the you know, kind of the way that they spread it out and have a lot of timing, short,
yeah.
controlled passing games, and I think that's what Garcia has excelled in. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I do think that he's a guy that if you brought him in, like Andy said, in May, and you gave him the offseason to learn the system and figure out what he's doing, and then he had a preseason and training camp, I think you could get something out of him in the short term. Now, he's too old to be anything more than that. Where if Brady were to be injured or,
right.
you know, for the long term, Jeff Garcia is not an answer.
But couldn't
Kevin
he now
O'Connell
be
would
in,
be the
in
guy.
Tampa? I mean, isn't there a more likely scenario that he lands in Tampa?
He could be anywhere.
With Gruden out. But, I mean, he and Gruden fought. I mean, they
yeah.
outright fought.
Yeah.
And they seemed to win games when he played.
Yeah, it's just
so
like.
So now an assistant who was there and a GM who was, I mean, for all we know, it's going to be happy dandy Jeff Garcia.
There's
can
a
lead
very
us to
good
Super
chance
Bowl.
That Kurt Warner's back in Arizona, mm-hmm. Kerry Collins is back in Tennessee, and Jeff Garcia is back in Tampa
right.
Bay. Very good chance. I would say better chance of that happening than those guys.
And all three
elsewhere.
Of them leaving.
But there's also a good chance all three of those guys leave, and if they leave, they make too much money to come to New England because sure. they're leaving to yeah. win a Super Bowl somewhere,
sure.
or in theory, win a Super Bowl somewhere.
Jacobin has another question. Would it be possible to trade for the 49ers for Castle for Patrick Willis straight up and or
no.
maybe the Pats throw in their extra second round pick with Castle to the Niners for Willis? Is that too much dreaming?
Yes.
I would
straight
think
up,
so, but
yeah. I think the Pats would have to throw in more than just Castle to get Willis. And I don't know if the Niners would be willing to part with Willis, even for a starting quarterback.
For a team that has no modern-day legacy, no modern-day foundation, you're mm-hmm. trading your foundation.
Well, that's right. what I was going to say. I mean, you're trading Castle, who might end up being a good
sure.
starting quarterback,
mm-hmm.
but you know this guy is your foundation of your defense, mm-hmm. so now you got to replace that.
Yeah,
you know?
I think that would be a – plus Mike Singletary, a middle linebacker, going to trade his
mm-hmm.
stud middle linebacker. As much as I'm sure he wants a quarterback,
yeah.
I just
– Imagine the Patriots, if they were in a situation where they had no quarterback at all, wanting to trade and giving up Gerard Mayo to get him.
Right.
You wouldn't want that to happen.
It's
that's where the Niners are.
I think it's too much to ask.
Let's see. Oh, on the phone right now is Anthony from Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
That's what I get, Fred. Thank you.
You're lucky he remembered that it was you.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to read another email.
But first and foremost, I want to say, Fred, Andy, I'm happy to hear you.
Well, thank you.
Because I've been listening to the show for 5 years now, Fred, and I'm sorry, Paul, don't take offense to this, but that had to be one of the worst shows yesterday.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, you're just a fool.
Oh,
no,
you
not,
are.
No,
you're
I'm not
a fool.
I'm saying I've been listening 5 years. And
come
just,
on.
Oh, it was bad. And
oh.
it wasn't necessarily you guys, but there was just a lot of blabbering in the first hour from other callers. But anyways.
Oh, yeah, that was two genders.
That has
fault.
To do with the production value.
How was that my fault?
Because
you
we
cut
told
the
you
call.
To cut the call down so we can say goodbye when we want to and not have them keep jumping in and interrupting like real radio producers do.
Like right about
well,
now.
Actually,
this guy's gone
guys,
on long enough.
Now this is a real radio show? Okay.
Ask
no,
Fred.
Hey, listen. Hello. Yo, first of all, I think actually you guys could have probably cut them off and said and do it like Fred. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Just so you
like
know,
that.
Fred
yeah.
doesn't actually do that. Fred does that after one of us is waving for Two Gender to cut the call off because Two Gender doesn't do anything either.
Oh, I see.
Huh. Still can't find that Britney Spears song.
I got it.
You have it, yeah.
Strippers has just sent it.
Of
I've
course.
Had it for 15 minutes. Screw all you guys.
Go home and get your shine box.
But the real reason I'm calling, and forgive me if you guys already talked about this, as you know, I don't listen live, but the whole Julius Peppers thing. Have you guys touched on that again?
Well, evidently you didn't listen to Tuesday's show as well as you thought then, did you?
No, no, I listened to – that's why I'm
talking. Talked a lot about Julius Peppers on Tuesday.
No, I'm talking about today's show.
Not today. We talked about it Tuesday.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm talking about. I just think – I don't think it's ever going to happen. The only way I see Julius Peppers coming to the Patriots, if for some reason the Carolina Panthers let him go without franchising him. If they franchise him, I believe in no which way I think the Patriots will put up that amount of money and give up.
I don't think
even if they don't, he's still going to command a lot of money.
Why do you think if they didn't franchise him, the Patriots could get him for less money than if they did franchise him? Cost you the
same. Here's my point, Paul. I want to say it. I don't think they do both. If he's a free agent, I believe they give up the money for him, which makes sense. But to franchise him and give up money to sign a long-term deal and to give up whatever you had to give up, let's say I think you're dreaming if you had to, like, for Carolina to take Castle and then some other picks, think you're dreaming.
No, it would cost you a lot more than Matt Castle. Yes, I agree with you.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think Patriots would do that. I think the way that New England's looking at it, and I hope they're looking at it this way, because obviously they're much brighter than I am, you're looking at gaining picks with Matt Castle,
right,
whether it's a first, second rounders, you know, and building depth through your defense. And you take that money that you would have spent with Peppers, let's say if he wasn't a free agent, but you sign it with a rookie, you know, first round pick or something, and build up your defense that way. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see any scenario that Julius Peppers becomes a Patriot now.
Yeah.
I think the only way he becomes a Patriot is next time, maybe like 4 or 5 years from now. Maybe he goes somewhere, plays in a 3-4, makes some big money, and then Bill goes, you know what, I can squeeze a couple years out of the end of his career here.
I'd
rather try to get him now, though.
I think it's too dangerous.
It's all money.
It's also a risk. The guy is not a full-time outside linebacker, and at this point in his career, you're just assuming he can be.
But couldn't you just play him as an end then, if he couldn't play outside linebacker?
A 3-4 end? I don't think he's built for that either.
But, I mean, you put 10 pounds on him, he's big enough to be a 3-4 end.
Big enough, but I don't know if he plays that style.
He's
a shoot
anywhere,
the gap, 4-3, kind of edge rusher, that kind of guy. And to just assume that at this point in his career, I'm going to hand him $30 million and say, you know what? Stand up on third down, we'll still rush you, but you're going to be asked to do a lot more things on different spots than you've done.
Yeah, I have a lot less concerns about the physical move than you do. I understand what your
physical
points.
And mental.
But
he's always going one
direction. I totally agree with you that it won't happen because of the money, A, and B, the climate that we're in right now in terms of the labor strife that we're heading toward and the uncapped year. I don't think that's something – I don't think the Patriots are going to make any kind of splash at all in free agency. They're going to sign a bunch of bargain basement guys again because they're not going to tie themselves up money heading into 2010, which possibly could be a disastrous uncapped year. And you know, even going forward, so I don't see them putting together a bunch of big money deals long term when a CBA is probably going to get signed soon and might change the ramifications of those deals that you just signed. I don't see that happening.
Maybe not a bunch, Paul, but what about one or two guys who they think?
I personally don't think any, but
none
that's
at
just
all.
My opinion.
No big. No
just
big
my opinion. That doesn't mean I'm right. My opinion.
Sticking with Peppers for a second, who do you think would have been the better option at this point? Thomas, when he was signed, Adalys Thomas or Peppers? Which one of those?
Adalys Thomas.
You still think he was the better fit for this defense? What do you think?
More proven in the role that you asked him to partake.
That's a good question.
Because it's kind of similar in that it's a guy who can do sort of a lot of different things on your defense.
But never really showed you that he could do what you wanted him to do in this defense.
Right.
Both guys.
Mm-hmm.
Both guys.
Thomas is less money, though. At the end of the day, don't you think he'll be?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
Quote, backed up the Brinks truck for him.
Yeah.
He got good money. $30 million guaranteed, right?
Because in Patriots fashion, he got real money.
He got real money.
You could fluff it up to $70 million over 80 years.
Get elite money.
How much more than 30
How much more than that,
he
though?
Get?
He's the same type. He's 29.
Yeah.
It's
a good question.
But I still, this goes with my whole draft theory. Whenever a guy comes out and he's going to move positions or do this, I don't like risking top draft picks and top free agent money
on a guy that I haven't seen do exactly or pretty much exactly.
That's why
what
I said I think that you make a fair point with that. I understand. Because
I think more often than not,
I just
you're avoiding that will make you a winner. You might miss on a guy here that could have really helped you, but I think you'll also miss three times where you would have screwed up.
And even though I'm not as concerned about it as you are, I'll make a point on your side. Bill, the very few times that Bill has gotten in trouble ever with personnel decisions is when he does that.
Takes tight ends?
When he looks at the athlete and says, I can do what I want with this guy because he's so athletic. Those are the guys that haven't really panned out. Benjamin Watson.
Chad Jackson.
Chad Jackson. Bethel Johnson.
Yep.
You know, it's not necessarily apples to apples in terms of a guy playing a different position, but it's the athlete that he was enamored with.
Dan Klecko.
He just continues his
story. All right, Anthony, thank you.
Anthony from Naples.
Yeah. He's already gone. Guys.
Just considers his...
You are just useless.
You don't have to tell the audience that, Dan.
Yeah, I was...
Terry Bradshaw, you tell me that. I
see,
mean,
the way it works,
Terry
Dan,
Bradway, that didn't knock you off your socks.
People think that we're saying goodbye, and he's just going at that time.
In all
they don't know that you cut him off a long time ago. That's the illusion we're creating with radio.
Is Eric, this the Dan?
Like the illusion that we're professional.
He just turns around and puts his back in.
Oh, wait.
If you, yeah, if it definitely sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should not be on the radio.
All the boys and all the girls. Did you notice?
Like, in one area, she's trying to, like, clean up her image, but all her music is
still the same music.
Is about, you know.
It's a dirty, dirty girl.
Yes,
God
that.
Bless her. God bless her.
But Paul was bopping to it over here. That'll be his new anthem.
A good sound spanking is what she needs.
I'm pretty sure she's gotten plenty sound spanking.
I like that Womanizer song. That's not a bad song.
By multiple men
like
at
that?
The same time. Occasionally women.
Hey, I don't care if people make fun of the music that I like. I like kind of. You know,
but that shouldn't be on the radio, right?
Pop, poppy,
F-U-C,
I
mean,
dance.
I can't
music.
Even say it.
Yeah,
but people who
Chick
take
music,
offense,
you can
people
it.
Who take offense like to those kind of things, just don't listen.
Yeah, but it's
but
not,
that's
yeah, but
see,
that's going to be played
on
a pop station
that
kids.
I wouldn't. Station. Yeah, I don't want my nieces listening to that. And she's definitely saying
not only listening, then they'll be going around the house.
Amy, you know, that's she's saying that in a way. It's not.
It's like Fred.
It's not if you seek Amy.
Yeah, it's
or,
not
or
like
whatever.
You're playing it on Patriots.com radio.
Right.
It's, this is a FCC controlled airwaves.
92 Pro FM in Providence. That's supposed to be safe for middle school girls and elementary
school
students.
I don't get offended by a lot of things either. And I'm not easy. I'm usually one of those guys like, I can't believe this politically correct crap. But that's, she's
so you think
clearly
there's a line? You think she crossed the line?
Oh, yeah. She spells F U.
Yeah.
Seek.
Yeah.
Seek Amy. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
it's, she's clearly saying it on purpose
in
the way she says it.
It's pushing the envelope.
It pushed it right off
clever.
The cliff.
Clever. I have to admit it.
Clever.
Yes, that's one thing I would
say. But it
I would
sounds
say,
like
well,
something
Britney Spears
I would do.
Clever.
Let's see. How can I make it so it spells F-U?
Well,
okay.
Now everyone's talking about it. They're all going to download it.
But not in a
it.
Good way. This is not what she should be looking for in her career.
She's looking for money.
Well, yeah,
but
she's also looking to say, I'm cleaned up. I'm a good girl again.
This goes against the girls that built her career. I mean, she wants all those teeny boppers to be back.
Does she?
Well,
isn't she past that now?
If not, there's only so many Paul Perillos out there that listen and creep it up. So... she should be.
All right. Nathan writes in. He says, so my wife bought me a Tom Brady jersey for Christmas right before I found out that we didn't make the playoffs because we did the unthinkable. We relied on the Jets. Any news on the number one QB? Well, we talked about that. Also, why in the hell didn't he play in the Pro Bowl last year? I was in such a shock about not beating the Giants that he didn't think about it. Kind of a new fan and just started listening in the last few months. Well, as you
I'll take it for you, Paul.
Oh, wow, Paul is beside himself. Food just came, and it's not Diet Pepsi.
You are absolutely useless.
Like, I would order anything
seriously,
but Diet Pepsi for Paul.
You are absolutely. You've screwed up every possible thing you've done for this show since you've taken over. You really have.
Wow. Well,
he was coming
Brady,
off a terrible loss and had
a
an
bad
major
ankle,
injury. Well,
right.
I won't say major, but had an injury
right.
or multiple injuries, I'm sure, at that point after the beating he took at the hands of the New York Giants. So... it's very common for people, certainly people that play in the Super Bowl, to not play in the Pro Bowl, but plenty of other people beg out because of a variety of injuries.
I mean, wasn't it Favre and
Favre and
Rivers.
Rivers both backed out, yeah.
It's down to Kerry Collins now or someone?
Yeah, he's going.
But, you know.
Yeah, so Castle was at the best of third alternate.
In 2010, they're playing the Pro Bowl the week before the Super Bowl in Miami, which is it makes even less sense.
It eliminates any possibility of any of the best team's players playing.
I don't like it, Fred. And I don't like that it's in
Because I think you not only lose the two Super Bowl teams, you probably lost the two
AFC conference,
NFC, conference losers.
For the same reason.
Yeah.
Plus, you're going to lose some people who just don't want to. I mean, I think the trip was legitimately a pull for some people.
Absolutely.
That's
so.
You talk to the players, that's a huge
And
part of
a lot of the players, admittedly, go to the Super Bowl anyway, but I don't think they want to go for 11 days. They go to the Super Bowl on, like, Wednesday or Thursday for the four-day festivities. Now you're saying, well, go to the Super Bowl and just stay for a week and a half or something. Bad idea. I don't even know. Is it going to make money? You're the money man, Fred.
I don't know.
I doubt it.
By having all those players in one place at one time before the Super Bowl, maybe there's some opportunities that they didn't have before.
I mean, is the idea to make it just like the week bigger, like a 10-day week that you can entice people to come to rather than a 4-day week?
I think so, but, you know, I don't know.
There's just so much.
Yeah.
I mean, how much can you – unless you're trying to make that like a poor man's Super Bowl. Okay, poor people come to the Pro Bowl and rich people come on Thursday. I mean,
Why don't they have the Super Bowl in Hawaii? Is the stadium not big enough?
Well, yeah, that's a dump stadium. It's not
It is a dump stadium, but
if they wanted to make
if you
that
really
an
wanted
event,
to do it, the NFL builds a stadium in Hawaii
and make that the event.
But
giddy up!
Yeah,
how about
I'm
that?
Just wondering about if that would keep people from
going. Yeah, no, there's too much money to be made bidding out the Super Bowl for the cities. It's a good economy.
But I'm saying, why not build a stadium in Hawaii that could do that and put them in the rotation? Like they used to do with used to do that with the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
the Rose Bowl used to be a venue for the Super Bowl.
That would fall in line with our little plan of having like New Orleans, Miami, Hawaii, and Vegas.
I think Vegas makes all the sense in the world.
But I think it should be fixed locations. You know, figure out what your top four or five are.
It's tough for Hawaii because now you have no choice but to fly. I mean, so expensive. You know,
nobody drives to the Super Bowl.
What are you talking about? No, I'm not talking about teams. I'm talking about the fans.
Joe Average.
70,000 people going to the Super Bowl all having to go to Hawaii.
Well, let's face it. How many
Joes
go to the Super Bowl?
55,000 of those are like
corporate people.
A lot of people that
happens to the other 20,000
and head down.
They head down, but they don't necessarily.
Do you get taken up by the more people that want to go because it's in Hawaii? I mean, I don't know.
It's all the more, you know.
I think it would be a huge draw.
Once it would be. I don't know if.
No, but on a rotating basis?
It would be.
On a rotating basis? Once every 4 or 5 years?
I don't know. I think you're better off keeping it in the continental U.S.
I just want to throw out a congratulations to NJIT, New Jersey Institute of Technology, snapping their 51-game losing streak last night with a big win over Bryant.
Oh, good. No one cares about useless sports like Paul
Perillo. They lost 51 games in a row. You know how hard that is?
I didn't even know they existed, Paul, before you told me that they had lost 51 games in a row.
But does it matter if you know who they lost 51 games in a row? It doesn't really matter who it is. I can't imagine
a
basketball team that plays 30 games a year can't win one.
I mean, he watches Northeastern. He has seen the depths of mediocrity.
Big, big win last night, Freddie.
All right,
big
win.
Mediocrity, that's a little too
George
high.
George Mason, 7-0.
Nice.
Yep. Northeastern, 6-1 in the league, in the CAA.
Dismal CAA.
It's a bit of a down year for the Colonial Athletic Association.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But the Huskies come away with a 58-57 win last night in front of 2,300 rabid Husky fans. No, that's exactly 2,300 in case you were wondering.
That's great.
It's called a made-up number.
Yeah, I got to think
and
that
they're
was,
rabid or else why would they be there?
Including Will Perillo banging the empty soda bottles on the chair as they – we're imploring the Huskies defense to come up with one final stop, and they did, forcing George Mason to getting no shot off at the buzzer.
Very good.
Big, big win for the Huskies.
Do you have emails to read?
Three-way tie at top with VCU,
you
George
can't
Mason.
You can't turn his volume down either. It's not like a call.
Mark from Fort Wayne, Indiana says,
I like you don't always.
Mark says, I ask that Andy and Fred never miss another show. Tuesday was a horror.
What did you guys
First, we
do?
Have Eric running the show trying to act like a real host, but came off like a tool. The calls went on forever. First, we had to listen to someone from Puerto Rico reminisce about his life, and then we had to listen to some guy from Arizona tell the story of a bachelor party, which was the worst one I've ever heard of. He must have no friends. I could only take about half the show before tuning it out. It was either that or go into a coma. Anyways, I do have a Patriot-related question. Do any of you guys know why Dom Capers was hired? I don't know why we would bring him in for a year. I thought they were going to move him up with more responsibility. It just seems unusual for the Pats to bring him in for just 1 year.
I agree. It seems kind of unusual, but there was a good coach available and you had a need. I mean, sometimes do we look for too much?
And maybe he wanted to go somewhere else.
Yeah, and you got to
personally, maybe he
if
wanted
the Patriots
to
didn't have a plan to promote him, that he wanted to be somewhere else. So,
I'm going to state for the record for Eric and I, that's the second person that specifically criticized the show, and their big criticism seemed to be
two gender,
the calls,
big time.
Well, this is a case of the quarterback getting too much blame and too much credit. The guy behind the scenes is the one who screwed that show up, but you guys, as the point men, need to take the fall for
we
it.
Talked,
Paul,
we talked,
you need to pull a Drew, Paul, as I've said in the past and continue to say.
Did we or did
okay,
we not?
He was making fun of Eric. Not
did
me.
We or did we? Hey, come on.
What? I just was going by the email.
Did we or did we not spend 90% of that show talking about football and related
topics? Well, that was the problem. We spent too much time talking about football.
Probably.
And we also accurately predicted in the first 10 minutes that we would be getting the bulk of the brunt of all the jokes because, you know, the comic relief wasn't here in Fred and Andy.
So well, you guys are kind of dry.
We do what we can.
Informative.
Dry? It's like the Mojave Desert.
That's his third terrible joke of the day. What was the one upstairs that he told you one that was bad?
Oh, the Ayn Rand joke?
Oh.
Yeah.
She had an Ayn Randerism. Right.
Stupid.
If you got it, it wouldn't be.
Let's see. My guess is if I got it, it would still be stupid.
Stephen from Sheffield, England says,
hold on.
What's the matter, Paul?
Why did Andy and I not get it?
Because you were sitting there and you were going like that? No, because you sat there and you were going like this.
Because geek humor isn't funny.
Oh, for God.
That's why we didn't get it.
It's touche.
That's why it wasn't funny.
It was funny, Fred.
Proceed.
Geek humor is funny to geeks.
Well said, you two.
That's not what I was looking for.
Geek is in. Let me tell you something.
No, you know, it isn't. It's never in.
Lumberjack shirts and corduroy pants are out. Andy Hart.
How about skin-tight button-downs that probably fit when you bought them?
To his credit, he's been buttoning up that button, though. You haven't been letting that chest hair hang out, thank the Lord.
Do you still have it or did you shave it?
What, my chest hair? I don't
shave. No, don't. No. No, we just, we trust you. It's there.
Put that thing away, big guy.
Let's see. This is Stephen from Sheffield, England, says you guys are excellent entertainment, especially Andy and that Eric. He should be sent to Rook's show on a permanent basis.
Why do you read these
And
things,
also his
Fred?
Website is... Well,
you don't need to read these things.
No, the guy said he liked you.
No, he didn't really. Fred kind of...
Are you listening at all?
I wasn't really. Vaguely.
He says that Eric's favorite food is smoked sausage.
or is that what he does to sausage?
Tom is from England as well, and he says, hi, guys.
I can't even find things funny? Unless it's Ayn Rand.
Ayn Randerism.
Tom says, hi, guys. I won't say and Eric as it's my first email, and I'd like to be respectful.
Okay.
Good.
So
finally.
Go.
But
intelligent
next time,
email.
On number two, be sure to include it. It's very
guarantee
funny.
Guarantee he takes a shot at you in this email.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, he says, I'm another fan from the UK, and I've been listening to the show religiously since the Arizona debacle. Have to say that since doing so, my enjoyment of the game and the Patriots has increased significantly. I was just curious about the draft order, which I'm sure has been mentioned before, and why the Eagles, one game away from the Super Bowl, are picking two places ahead of New England. Of course, they had a worse regular season record, but surely their playoff record should move them up. Much like
it
the
doesn't.
Cardinals have done, has that always been this way?
Pretty much.
As far as I know, yeah. By record, except for Super Bowl participants.
Super Bowl teams get 31 and 32.
And that is wrong.
It is wrong.
I think it's wrong.
I think it's wrong, too. Whoever's in the playoffs should get 32 through 21.
The 12 playoff teams should pick the last 12 spots with the two Super Bowl winners
getting 31,
getting
and, 32.
31 and 32. The two Super Bowl
right,
participants.
That's been thrown out there. But I think the reason they did it the way they did it is – you know, you're a team like Arizona who gets in at 9-7, but you're in a terrible conference, and you're really not
you're not a better team
than the Patriots who are 11-5, and it's all about parity.
But
you don't want to penalize a team for making the playoffs.
But
right.
The argument,
I know that's why they do
but
it.
The argument is you shouldn't penalize 11-5 teams like New England by not letting them get in the playoffs.
Right. No, I can see both
so
sides.
So if you're
going to
have it one way, I think you should balance it out by saying, okay,
you make
the playoffs, you get the lower pick.
I can see both sides.
I like it the way it is.
I don't.
you like it the way it is, Andy.
Yeah.
You know what, Fred? You convinced me.
Is that right? Okay.
Because I thought, kind of like when Eric just said. No, what he just
didn't
say
anything. Even he's stunned. Look at his face. Look at that smirk. He's like, I didn't even say anything, and somehow I convinced Paul. Look at that dumb smirk.
No, I really, kind of.
It's the first time I've ever had him agree with
me. That's true. I really kind of thought, like Eric just said, you know, you keep him out of the playoffs, it's like you're penalizing them twice. But you're right. You don't penalize a team for making the playoffs. They're still 9-7. They're still 8-8.
Right.
Right.
So you shouldn't penalize them, you know, for making the playoffs. That's probably why they do it. And I can understand that.
Okay.
I still don't
That's the point you made about the Cardinals. I was agreeing with your point.
Yeah.
Even though you had no idea what I was
that's
doing.
That's exactly what I said. If you were listening, fathead, you would have heard it.
You weren't even listening to yourself.
Anyway, Tom has one other thing. He says, thanks. If this gets on the air, it did. And keep up the great work. By the time the show is on, I'll hopefully have bought tickets for myself and my depressed Lions fan brother for the Bucks game at Wembley. Here's hoping that we turn that stadium into a sea of red, white, and blue. I got a feeling it will be.
I seem to think we will because our huge fan base is located over there. So,
plus, do they still hate the Glaziers over there?
No, I think that's calmed down a little bit.
With the soccer teams,
there's always a group of fans that are always bitching and moaning about their owner, but it's not like they're burning him in effigy like they were when they first bought the team.
Because I was going to say that would probably hurt their support if they still hated him as much as they
did. No, it's not as bad as it used to be.
But, yeah, it's sounding like it's going to be significant favoring of the Patriots when we're over there.
Good.
Let's see. Paul, our third London emailer in a row. He says, I got my tickets for the upper end zone for Wembley match next year. Can't wait to see Brady Moss, but most importantly, take PFW on a British night out.
Uh-oh. That doesn't involve a bunch of sticks, does it?
Back to the Patriots and the defense that was discussed on Tuesday. Imagine a defense of Seymour and Wilfork and Warren, Peppers, Mayo, Vilma, and Thomas, Ashmoga, Greer, Hobbs, Merriweather, and Harrison. I'd say there are two odd names out there in Hobbs and Harrison, but that pass rush would be scary. If we don't get Peppers, what about Brian Cushing of USC?
There's a team that has a pair of good linebackers, more than a pair, actually, a trio.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him. I mean, I've seen them play, and I know he's an outside guy, supposedly has some versatility, can play inside too, but I don't know as much about him and don't feel like I've seen as much of him as I have of. I like Maaluga. I don't think he's going to be available.
Yeah,
sounds like he's going to continue to be a top 10 or 12 pick. But I think he would be perfect because his one question mark, I think, a little bit is his 40 times says like 4.75, which means he's probably really like 4.8 or something because usually those are a little fluffed up at this point in the process. So, but he's big. I mean, he's a full 260, 265. So I would take him as my guy next to Mayo. Mayo's my runaround, a little more athletic. He's my run stuffer with if I get surprising athleticism, I think it'll be great. But it sounds like he's going to be too high for the Patriots to really be a possibility.
And we're we should let
unless
people
they trade
know.
Castle for, you know, a top 12
pick. Well, we should let people know that we're just getting started with our intense draft preparation and free agency preparation.
As Fred showed today when he said, you know, there's some college that has a pair of good linebackers.
Us, by us, I meant you and me.
Yes, me.
Well, the other part of that story was that Andy and I gave him at least 8 or 9 different examples. You know, I mean, some of them are obscure. Like, I came up with Jasper Brinkley from South Carolina, who is a guy I kind of always liked. No. Not him, no. So basically he has no idea
even clarify it if we say it. It's not going to jump off the page. So, as Paul says, go read our lads and let us know what they say.
But
what are you eating over there?
You were talking about me?
Italian.
But, yeah, we are getting into our free agent.
Why don't you try a couple of buffalo tenders? I think those are good for an upset stomach.
Oh, my God. Jeez, I couldn't keep down scrambled.
2 G's.
We love these questions.
Want some tenders over here?
Answer them better pretty soon.
Paul says,
this is not a vulgar show.
Paul might have a nugget here. He says, someone that has been at the Senior Bowl practices all week said they saw the Patriots staff in a bar after yesterday's practice and heard one of the guys say, so we all like the two Cincinnati guys. Two DBs, a punter, a tight end, and a guard are there, so it's likely to be the two defensive backs.
What?
I don't really buy those kinds of stories.
Although, to be fair, the two Cincinnati guys has more detail than Fred's a pair of linebackers for some team.
I'll find out who they are.
How?
I'll just...
He'll call the guy at our lats.
What team has a pair of good linebackers? USC. No, not them.
I forget that guy's name.
Actually, Ohio State has a pair, too. There's a guy that passed up.
But one of them wasn't Laurinaitis. So I would have remembered that.
No, he thought Laurinaitis played for USC, so it can't be him.
Imagine how good they would have been with Laurinaitis in that crew.
Bob writes in.
Hey, Bob.
Bob from the Contemps.
Great show. Three questions. Like. One, do you think that the Pats have any interest in Phil Savage? A guy did a lot in helping the Ravens, bringing in some good young guys.
No, I don't.
I don't. I think he talks too much, and I'm not sure his reputation is sound right now.
Plus, very much so close reputation to Romeo Crennel, Bill Belichick.
I might bring him in to help with some Patriots texting issues we're having.
I kind of forgot all about that.
Well, that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. I can't see Bill having a guy like that.
Number two, will the Pats re-sign Lamont Jordan?
No.
I doubt it.
Maybe. I'm not confident.
And three, please give me your ideas of team needs on the defensive side of the ball, inside linebacker, outside linebacker, cornerback, safety, defensive line.
Yes, except for the
except
last
one. Defensive line. Cornerback and safety, I think they need significant help at, and they could probably use an inside linebacker.
All right.
And maybe an outside.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Let's take a break. We got a lot more emails coming up.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 in the morning if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Freddie took a trip over to Bass Pro to meet loyal listener Doug from Blackstone. Let's listen in.
Hey, Gary, Fred, you have any idea what Doug looks like?
Bye. That's a trip to Bass Pro with Fred Kirsch.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress.
That's a goodie.
That's one of my favorites.
Nice, short and sweet.
Because you wanted to say something, but you didn't know what to say, so you're like, bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm in the middle of the restaurant. Can't really chat.
Microsoft slashing thousands of jobs.
5,000 jobs. Gone.
Your boy really
hitting
the ground running.
Mass unemployment's up to 6.9%.
Mass is?
Yep.
Is that a record?
In the last 15 years, yep.
That's not good.
Keith in Central Florida is concerned, he says. I'm really concerned with all the losses to the Pats organization this offseason. Speaking of layoffs, I'm even more concerned that on February 1st, it will be 4 years and counting since the Pats last won a Super Bowl. Poor drafting, free agency, and poor decisions, plus age is set in. I'm looking at the Steelers' defense and wondering how they are always one of the best D's year in and year out. They never go out and spend money on free agents and never have high draft choices. Either, instead of everybody looking at how the Pats do everything, I think it'd be wise to look at how the Steelers are doing things. It might be a good idea for the Pats to go after some of Pittsburgh's scouts, as they always seem to know how to find good players via the draft, especially on defense. The Pats really, really need to have a good draft this year to get this team back on top. There is no room for error, as the Tuna always seems to draft well, and Miami is only going to get better.
As always, this is a little reactionary, because
yes, it is.
The Patriots have drafted well
at times.
A number of times.
At times.
But not just like once. I mean, they've consistently over the years at various times drafted very well.
03.
And hit on their high picks.
05, I'd say, were very good drafts.
We've said forever that Kevin Colbert is one of the most underlooked, underrated
names kind of guy.
In all of sports.
He's Fred's kind of guy.
Because all he does is draft players for that defense who fit in and work.
Right.
And no one – I would dare say I've never heard his name mentioned in terms
of – That's the way it should be.
Take over another team, run a show.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't think I've – the only time I ever hear it is – at the combine, when we're asking him questions,
well, he talks to everybody at the combine,
right,
because, except for me.
You know, maybe he's one of those guys who knows that he has a good situation and takes himself out of consideration right away. So maybe that's why we don't hear about.
He's kind of the guy, isn't he?
Right. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
So what? I mean, what could he
more money?
Aspire,
I mean,
more money.
I gotta think
or...
that the Steelers don't pay a lot of money. I gotta think if he wanted to, if he was a self promoter, he would whisper in the ear of John Clayton, Chris Mortensen, and Adam Schefter. And you'd be hearing him getting $5 million a year offers from the Giants.
Just to get more money.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or to get more notoriety. Maybe he goes, you know what? We won a Super Bowl. We're in a Super Bowl. And all everybody talks about is Cowher was a great coach and Tomlin's a this. And you never hear Colbert.
Maybe he just likes
what he's got. I'll say one thing about the Pittsburgh angle that I think is interesting. You touched on it, Andy, is that's a team that they constantly hit in the draft. And they're doing it like the Patriots in that they're looking for some specific players for their system. Their system's not for everybody.
Right.
So they're not dealing with the same pool that a lot of teams are. Mm-hmm. You know, so they have to target guys in their 3-4.
Who wouldn't normally be targeted at that position.
Yeah, that can, you know, a guy like Casey Hampton that can play the nose, a specific skill set. Guys that can, you know, succeed with the zone blitzes. So some bigger guys that maybe have quicker feet that can drop back into zones when they have to do it. Some pass-rushing outside linebackers that have always been their staple and their lifeblood. I don't think there are tons of those guys to pick from every year, but they seem to find them.
Do you think that that allows them to be not just more precise, but because they're focusing on a smaller pool, they can be more thorough? Because they're not looking at a lot, and so they're more so the picks generally end up paying out because, you know...
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, yeah, and I agree. But I don't think that the Patriots have had the same kind of success.
Right.
No.
Well,
that the same can be said of the Patriots' pool is smaller, mm-hmm. so they should be able to target a smaller group. Gappers and whatnot.
How much continuity have they had in their staff, which the Patriots have not?
Yeah.
Their underlings have been moving for almost as long as I can remember. Every year there's somebody going to the Jason Licks, and these people are going everywhere.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting one to look at the scouting department.
Maybe their top 10 people have been, you know, virtually the same for years. Now, the other thing I would say is they've done it a lot like the Patriots in that when they've had the chance to pick high, they've hit. They get guys like Polamalu and Roethlisberger. They don't screw those picks up. When they pick late in the round, they hit on those, and then they sprinkle in a second, third. I mean, Harrison, was he
I don't even think
undrafted?
He was drafted.
They sprinkle in an undrafted, a fifth-round pick who they really hit on, and that's where you go from good drafting, doing your job with high picks to, wow, you're a great drafter.
Plus, don't they have a very good strength and conditioning program?
Wow. Wow.
No, that's
Fred.
What I heard. Isn't you've, there a guy like
you've,
the...
Even you've stooped that far. As mad as you were that that Spygate story came out on the eve of the Super Bowl, you're jumping into...
No. Oh, I'm just saying.
By the way, despicable, just like the Spygate.
Isn't there
ESPN
guy that,
needs to be monitored.
Isn't there guy the guy that runs the bench
Goodell.
Press? Isn't there guy?
No.
That, who's? Oh, that's from the Cleveland Browns, right?
No.
Where's he
I
from?
Believe he is now with the Cardinals.
Oh,
or his
Cardinals
last employ
oh,
was with the Cardinals.
Interesting. He's with the Cardinals now, huh? Interesting. They're in the Super Bowl?
Wait a minute.
That's too
out,
funny. I didn't
out.
Even know that.
He doesn't have any ties to any allegations.
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't.
What?
His claim to
I'm
fame is he
that.
Yells at guys when they're doing the bench press
right.
at the combine.
Right, no.
No, I'm talking.
You're talking about HGH.
No, I'm talking not. About the HGH
yes, you
thing.
Were. Oh, I am not.
Wipe that stupid look off
well,
your
I
face.
I am, Fred. If you're not talking about it, then I'll pick up the torch for you. Mike Fish, this ESPN crap.
Something smells fishy.
It stunk last year. It was terrible, and it stinks this year. And they need. I'm telling you, I think that Goodell needs to do something about
well,
it.
What's he going to do?
Something.
Okay.
Take away
thanks.
The rights to the games.
And hand back
well,
the
you,
money.
You can't screw around with freedom of the press, but it sounds fishy. To,
well,
to, no
was
pun
it screwing
intent.
Around with freedom of the press when our favorite TV show went off the air?
PFW in Progress?
No, I was giving Two Gender a chance to play the thing there, but Playmakers?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point.
I mean, was it? That's why it was off the air.
I know.
Somebody's at the door.
Somebody's at the door.
This is webmaster Chris Ferrer from Patriots.com. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. You suck, Andy.
I don't even know what this one has any reference. Oh, Julius Peppers, apparently. Today's word is pepper nipples. That's
not it.
What are you doing, Two Gender?
What do you mean, that's not it?
Read the word again.
Oh, pepper ripples. There's no N in there. It's pepper ripples.
Oh, boy.
But it refers to the nipples.
I think we just came up with a new word.
Yeah, it should be pepper nipples. It's the nipples on a ginger girl, so wouldn't they be pepper nipples?
What's a ginger girl?
The opposite of a ginger boy. Anatomically different.
What?
A gingerbread man, a ginger boy.
Never heard of that before.
People with red hair.
I'm still not getting this.
I don't know. I didn't read far enough along. Apparently red hair is involved here. A girl's nipples with not a lot of skin pigmentation who has red hair and freckles. I like the pepper ripples on. This is a terrible one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You
my God.
Stink. You've continued your streak of ruining every aspect of this show that you touch. Lunch used to be good. Now we don't get lunch anymore. This used to be good. Now we don't have funny Urban Dictionary words.
Callers
you
used
suck.
To be. Callers used to be good.
Yeah.
Now they're
callers,
going on
we used
too
to get
long.
The good part of their call and then let them go. Now we're stuck with babbling guys that everybody says the show is terrible. I mean, I'll keep talking here. I have nothing else to say, but Fred is dipping his cinnamon stick. He's not ready to read an email.
The draft, cinnamon
the
stick.
Drafts have been good, but not as deep as I thought they might have been.
Deep.
But they've had a lot. There's a lot of starters they've gotten out of the last. You know, I'm going all the way back here, like 2001, Casey Hampton, Kendrell Bell.
Uh-huh. Out of
know,
the league now.
The first couple.
Went to KC and fell, off,
and
the
fell
planet.
Off the planet.
I don't know if you know, when they leave when they leave Pittsburgh, they tend to not be as good.
2002, Kendall Simmons, Antoine Randall-L, Chris Hope, Larry Foote. That was a good draft for them. Veron Hayes.
Very good draft.
So that was a very good draft for them. Oh, Brett Kiesel, too, in that draft. He's still with the team. 2003, Troy Polamalu, Ike Taylor, so a couple of starters there. Brian St. Pierre still in the league as a late draft pick.
With the Cardinals.
2004, Roethlisberger. Max Starks in the third round, one of the starting linemen. 2005, Heath Miller, Bryant McFadden, Trey Essex.
He's still with them.
Chris Kimioatu, that guy who got that bad penalty in the AFC Championship game last week. 2006, Antonio Holmes, Anthony Smith, Willie Colon. 2007, Lawrence Timmons, Lamar Woodley, Matt Spaeth, Daniel Sepulveda. So the first four picks have been pretty. William Gay was in the fifth round. Okay, he's like their nickelback. So you can see where the team was built. They've got two or three guys that are still with the team from every draft going all the way back to 01.
But as Eric points out, it also gets back to, are they good people when they're drafted or are they good people when they play for the coaches they play for? Because they have a lot of people who leave and aren't very good afterwards. And I would argue also that, like, Kendrell Bell was in the prime of his career.
Yeah.
He didn't leave because he was dead.
He was a defensive rookie of the year.
Right. But, I mean, he like it's not like
Ty Law. Did he have any injuries or anything in Kansas City?
I think he did have some
issues. You know what? It is interesting, though. One guy that did leave and did do well is Mike Vrabel, who went from one good organization to another.
Plaxico Burress, too. But, you know, he left because of the same issues that are dogging him today.
Right.
Not because the Steelers didn't want to.
But you wonder, would Vrabel be only another for them had he stayed? Had there not been a log jam or whatever?
Or if he had gone to another team that wasn't employing this system, that wasn't good for him.
The other thing, can you look up just when Colbert sort of assumed
I meant to do that.
Top duties.
Because that all those drafts weren't Colbert's.
No, that's why I didn't want to give him that other guy, the blonde-haired guy, wasn't he?
Let's see. Colbert has been the director of football operations since 2000, so all those drafts were
his. All those drafts were his, then.
What does that mean?
All those drafts were his.
Director of football operations.
That's what his title
in this
is.
Franchise, isn't that the guy who like plans the trip?
It's not the same here.
Not the same. It's different.
Colbert oversees the personnel area.
Yeah, he's booking their flights for him.
Colbert oversees the personnel area of the team and supervises the scouting staff. So he's Pioli. Yeah.
Right.
This is Pioli for Pittsburgh.
Oh, I had a joke for one of those emails. It was something about bad drafts, terrible free agent signings, and what I was going to say, well, those are all in Kansas City now, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
He's in charge of administering
put that on the warpath.com.
Player acquisitions and transactions, including the draft, free agent signings and trades, evaluating pro and college personnel. So he basically runs the show.
Right.
Tom
and
Donald.
I certainly don't think Mike Tomlin is like making all these – no offense to him.
I know,
I know you love him and you've got a jacket that looks just like
him. He's barely calling the plays.
Even as a logo in it,
I don't
it?
Think he's a real good coach, by the way.
Just to get people in on the inside joke, Paul got a new
shiny,
jacket.
Poofy.
Well, he got a new jacket for
it's
Christmas.
It's not shiny and poofy
and
on
it's
the
reversible.
Outside.
It's poofy.
It's reversible.
On the inside.
On the inside, it's that real shiny poofy jacket that Tomlin wears. So when Paul was in the bathroom, we took it and we turned it inside out, and we put a Steelers logo on it.
Important phone call.
And the funny part is Paul took a while first to notice anything, then put it on, turned it inside out, went home with it.
But you had it on the back of a chair. You couldn't even see it. But when I went to go home, I noticed that they had turned it inside out. I laughed. And I put it back the right way, put it on, and then I was driving home. And, you know, once you start driving home, it gets a little warmer. You unzip your coat. And I'm like, what the heck is this? Is there a tag in here? And that's when I noticed the Steeler logo they put in there.
What is the green lettering? Do you know that? You're a business guy. On those jackets, has Reebok and the NFL come up with their own line of, like, Gore-Tex or...
It could be sideline apparel, maybe.
Costanza?
Because those jackets all say something on them. Like, it seems like it's their version of all weather.
No, that's why I like to say them.
I don't know.
Gear.
Yeah, it's like a feature of the jacket or something.
I don't know.
That's the answer we were looking for.
Sean and
Well, just because we had at least one ass PFW that asked it, and I... The more
we really need to get somebody from the pro shop on this show because there's a lot of merchandise questions.
Why don't we get your boy Bilello?
We should call him up.
No.
And maybe you and him can talk revs.
Sean in Singapore writes in two questions. The first one was sent last week, but Fred missed it. First question: say if Matt Castle decides to sign a long-term contract and one that the Patriots can absorb the cap hit, they would assumably. If Brady is healthy, A, still trade him since his value is as high as it's going to get, and B, trade O'Connell even though it is likely to be a low pick, say a fourth or a fifth since he hasn't played at all yet, but there should be interest. Or C, keep all three. What do you think? I don't know.
Would Matt Castle want to sign a long-term deal in New England?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Especially after
unless Brady,
and it says assuming Brady is healthy,
right? So I anything is possible, but I don't see Matt Castle being interested in signing a long term deal in New England.
I don't either. Especially after there was always that question about what Brady's status is, and just gauging the tone of his voice yesterday, he sounded fine, and he sounded like he was a guy who was ready to come back. I don't foresee.
Do we have him, Ken?
Yeah,
it's Fred.
Hey, Fred.
You're on the air.
Great.
We have a lot of questions, and one of them about a merchandise.
Okay.
One of them, Mike Tomlin wears a jacket on the sideline. You know that puffy jacket?
Yeah, it's called the shield.
It's called the shield. What is – there's a green thing in there that
– the green logo. What is the story on that green text?
It just says climate control. It's one of those wicking-type jackets that's supposed to – keep the warmth on your body.
It's kind of like Under Armour has
exactly,
kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay, and that's a Reebok jacket.
That's correct.
What other merchandise do we have coming out this year that people would be interested in?
Well, when you say this year, you mean this coming season?
Yes.
Oh, boy. A little premature for that, Fred, because stuff isn't really ordered that much yet. So.
Well, are there going to be a lot of good things for people to buy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, every year they come out with a whole new line of sideline apparel and so on and so forth. I think the big thing to discuss this year is the 50th anniversary of the AFL, and we're one of them.
Right. So what will we look forward to with that? Are we allowed to say yet?
I don't know.
Oh, you're the guy, aren't you?
You don't know what we're looking forward to? Come on.
No, I don't know if we can talk
about it. Oh, now I see.
So when will the first thing be unveiled? Around draft time?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Now, will there be, you don't necessarily have to tell me anything specific, but will there be any line of apparel, including the tri-corner hat, helmet, logo, anything?
No.
Nothing? Okay.
My understanding is we're honoring the 63-era uniform, which obviously tri-corner was not part of that.
Right. So it's the Pat Patriot?
Correct.
Logo?
Not that dissimilar to the 85 jersey they're very familiar with, honestly. So.
All right, and finally, Ken.
Yep.
Any promotions going on in the pro shop right now that you want to tell people about?
Not right at this moment, but actually next, I believe starting a week from tomorrow, we have what they call the annual super sale. And even though we didn't make the playoffs, we're going to have a bunch of discounts online in the pro shop that will last for like a week, basically just trying to tie into the Super Bowl itself.
Oh, okay. So people can look forward to that. How 50%, 60% savings? What are we looking at?
You're pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
Minimum of 20% off everything, I believe.
Minimum 20%. That's good.
Yep.
Okay, great. All right, just make sure we don't go the way of Circuit City, okay?
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
All right, that's Ken Flanders. Thanks for answering the phone. That's great.
Thanks, Ken.
Ken Flanders.
Talk to you next week.
See you guys.
All right.
You can hang up now, Dan. All right. Who knew we got one out of his voicemail?
The only useless person here.
That's the best thing he's done on this show.
How did you effort that? You called him on your regular phone?
It was just luck, I guess.
Wow, that's
yes,
great.
It was.
Well, you were involved,
as is anything
obviously.
That you do successfully.
Is this the time where Andy and I can really make fun of Eric for his
No.
Are you finished? Right.
Paul,
do you remember? Are you finished?
Now, see, this proves that you weren't listening when Ken was in your office when I asked him that specific question, because everything I relayed to you during the break was what he told me sitting in your office with you sitting there.
I told you, I can't tell you the order of the conversations that we had with him. I was only assuming when you were so adamant about it that your conversation had taken place after the one where he told Andy exactly what he just said now on the show.
He told me what I told you in your office with you sitting there not 2-3 weeks ago.
Well, no, that's untrue.
It is
so
true.
2 or 3 weeks ago.
Because I was sitting there and I said, Ken, what do you have in the way of the old Pat Patriot logo for sweatshirts? We were in your office and he came in and that's when I asked him and that's when he told me all that other stuff.
No, stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar.
Can I finish now?
Sure.
You done?
Yeah.
Well, if you shut up for a second, I'd fill you in.
I'll give you all the answers.
You were there.
Ones, just all of them.
You were there, and I don't know why you didn't hear him, but that's what he said.
He even threw in the kind of 63, kind of the 85 look.
Right.
Because that's exactly what he said to us about the stripes on the shoulders.
You weren't listening.
Evidently, I was, because I just parroted what he said. Andy and I said the same thing that Ken just said. So evidently we were listening.
But that's three times now we've had that conversation with him, and we've had different
results
every time. Well,
evidently Flanders might get him back next week. He might tell a different story.
Paul and
I
have only heard the two times where we heard the same story. You're the only one who heard the middle story.
You were there.
And you're also the only one pompous enough to, even after the guy just said what it's going to be, you're insisting that you're right.
Yes, Fred.
I'm insisting. He's so pompous, he's going to call Ken off the air later and say, Ken, what's the deal? I mean, you told me 2 weeks ago.
Can I get a signed affidavit of what you said?
Signed document.
Fred's like giddy over there. It's like...
Sean still has another question. Food for thought, what happens when there is not enough players for the draft? For example, 2008 draft, there were a total of 252 players drafted, plus others who went undrafted. Assuming that only 100-plus athletes declare, what happens?
Well, there's always more than 100. Happen. I mean,
Yeah, I mean,
the declaration first is that everybody hears about is juniors, junior eligibles,
right,
declaring the
40 to 46 to 48.
But I mean, there's always a pool of you can go down to Division III. You can draft a guy at a Division III.
Plus, if you didn't get drafted last year and were out of football, you're still eligible.
There would never be not enough players to draft, both practically and.
Right. I mean, there's how many 110 Division I schools say they all had 10 seniors? That's 1,000 players right there.
Yeah. Question for you that we were talking about the other day.
I probably don't have an answer.
Does a senior – you know how the seniors have to apply for the draft anyway?
Right.
Like Myron Roll, the Rhodes Scholar from Florida State, has chosen not to apply for the draft because he wants to pursue a scholarship and he plans on going to the draft in 2010. A senior has to apply for the draft just like everybody else, correct? And if you don't, you're not eligible to be drafted.
I believe so, but I don't know.
Yeah, okay, so you're with us. I don't know. That's how we're all weren't really sure exactly what the rule is. I did a Google when I went back, and I found a draft rule, website, and it said that you have to apply, but it was kind of written vague. I didn't know if it was specifically talking about a senior or an underclassman.
Why can't the NFL just write clear rules?
Well, I don't know.
Because if it's clear, it can be criticized.
That's true.
It's criticized when it's not clear.
But it's hard to be specific if you don't know the specific back. If you leave things vague, they can always Mike Pereira can always come up
the
with
question,
an out.
Yeah, the question
and,
that
and,
came
and
up,
smart people can always find loopholes.
The question
and then
that
they get
came
mad
up,
at
Fred,
you when you do.
Andy was with Myron Roll. Someone wrote in and said, this guy, he seems like he's a really good player, obviously very intelligent.
Just draft him.
Why don't we draft him in the 6th or 7th round now? And then we'll have him, you have until before the draft next year to sign him. Is that legal? Can you draft a guy who's not declared himself for the draft?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Didn't the Celtics do that with Larry Bird?
He was eligible. He was a junior eligible.
But he didn't play that year, right?
He did.
Right.
He played in college.
Right. Right. That's
but he
what
was
I mean.
But he was eligible for the draft because of his age. The rules have changed since then.
But they drafted him, but they didn't use him until the next year.
Right. That's correct. That is how they drafted him in 78.
Right.
And he was not a Celtic until 79.
But,
you are right.
Because Red thought he was going to be a pretty good player now.
Red was trying to get him to leave because he didn't think Indiana State was very good, and he was trying to convince me, because, leave that team, and then he ended up going to the final game. I'm 33-0.
Let's see. Pat writes in, sup, fellas, in transgender in Scalavano. That's, by the way.
Scalavano.
He's purposely screwing up my name.
I looked
name.
Up his proper pronunciation.
You didn't look anything
good.
Up.
It's Scalavano.
Okay.
No,
good.
You
didn't.
How
do you look
good
it up?
Good to know.
No, Paul, don't.
How do you look up a name?
I went into a genealogy chart, and the family tree at Scalavano.
Did you have a lot of time on your hands? Because you looked up Scalavano, and you've been Googling PFW in progress and seeing what they're saying on page 12.
Eric, why are you going along
Eric
with it?
Eric Scalavano.
I think he looked it up. There's a pronunciation guide on UrbanDictionary.com.
That's not where I found it. Come on.
That's
I don't go to that site. Poor Eric.
Why poor Eric?
Why poor Eric?
He's very frustrated with
us.
He's
employed. He gets a paycheck every week. He's got a good life. Did you notice that I ran out of good things was he gets a paycheck every week?
Got to tell you, though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
Anyway, Pat says,
Crystal Pepsi to drink.
I did some serious thing. Is that water?
Yeah.
No, it's Crystal Pepsi.
No,
you don't remember the Crystal Pepsi era? No, he's reusing the bottle. He's green. That's good.
Trying.
I did some serious thinking about the 08 season, and I got it.
Andy was green on Monday.
Are we going to allow Pat to have
his email
right here?
Sorry.
Generally, when somebody pauses to make everybody else stop talking, everything they say afterwards is wrong, kind of like Eric was. So this one will probably be wrong, too.
I'm not wrong. The information I got was relayed wrong.
I did some serious thinking about the 08 season, and I got it. I thought about the Dolphins winning the division, Jets having 7 Pro Bowlers, Titans starting 10-0, an 8-8 team in the playoffs, at home beating at 12-4, a rookie quarterback winning his first two playoff games, Detroit going 0-16, one season after the Patriots go 16-0, the Arizona Cardinals winning one more regular season game than they did last year, being good enough to be in the Super Bowl this year, and most of all of Penis Manning winning MVP. The point is, it took the best football player on the planet to go down in the first quarter of the first game of the season for parity to hit the league. The NFL was pretty fair. My gosh, it was in the summer when Brady said he didn't feel like competing. I guess no one else did either. Once Brady limped into the locker room, a huge sigh went all around the league. Everyone played to each other's level because they knew they didn't have to try to keep up with the greatness anymore. It's like the superintendent being at the office, and everyone is working at their best to look good, and as soon as he leaves, they start screwing around, act like they normally do, and show who they really are.
Like PFW.
We've all concluded the league sucks, including the refs. The Arizona freaking Cardinals in the Super Bowl. Speaking of crappy Super Bowl teams, could this be the first time a Super Bowl winner has a worse regular season record than a team with a better regular season record which missed the playoffs? I don't know. One more Super Bowl question. Arizona hosted the Super Bowl last year, are in it now, but has a city ever hosted a Super Bowl and played in it in the same year?
No.
Because as long as I've been following football, I think most don't even make the playoffs.
Never happened.
And by the way, here's one for you old guys. Paul. I've only sent one other email a few months back, but some chick that was interviewing Hobbs being a skeezer. Wow, did you screw that up? Skeezer is a female who is most desirable. One, oh, I can't say that. I just can't say that.
Oh, see now.
Can you paraphrase it?
She's hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah. Must have been Catherine Tappan.
So.
No, I think it was Christina Acra.
Oh.
I think it was a reference to a Hobbs interview on our site, wasn't it?
I don't know. But whatever it is, I can't say what he said.
Cherry pie?
Think about Catherine Tappan much? Right to Catherine Tappan there quickly. Huh?
She was in Inside Track today.
Jeez, she's in your head, too.
No, she's pretty hot.
She's very hot.
She's on Paul's Inside Track.
To which a former member of this show said to me, hey, I'm out there again.
That's true. And it's not the one you think.
We were talking about Catherine Tappan. He's like, hey, yeah, because she's so hot. And he's like, hey, I'm out there again.
But
like,
she's
like
not
it matters.
As hot in those photos, again, as she is in person.
No, much better in person.
In those red dresses, she didn't even stand out, and she stands out in person.
On the phone is Steven from out. Oregon.
Hey,
Steven, how you doing?
But I'm the
creep. Hey, guys, Eric, how's it going?
Hey,
good. Steven, good one.
Hey, Steve.
Those are never get old.
Yes, they do. They've been old, you know, every time they've been used.
I was thinking about that the other day when I was listening to last Thursday's podcast. I'm a little bit behind, and somebody kept reading them like that, and I kept laughing, and I'm like, it never does get old.
It doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Didn't somebody write in and, hey, girls, and then he named everybody else?
Yeah, yeah. What's your point, Stephen? We've got time's running out in the show.
What's your point,
move
Steven?
It along.
I'm sorry. Is there somebody speaking? Oh, that you, Eric? I'm sorry.
And they wonder why callers are taking too long in the show.
Boy, you really are a crank bag. You just
no, you know, cranky. I actually do agree with
Ken Flanders.
I do agree with Fred, and I think it was last Thursday you actually said about how Eric writing all these articles and features and stuff like that, and how people are liking what Eric does and what he writes and all that kind of stuff. And I see him a lot on the website, and I think he does a good job there.
Oh, my God, that is funny!
Oh, you were serious about that?
No, he does. Yeah.
He does a fine job.
He is he is a fine asset to all of our endeavors.
Boy, listen
how
to
is
the
that?
PR response.
How was that? Was that good?
He's really coming into his own.
And Fred has been giddy about his update.
Oh, God! Giddy!
Oh, my God.
I hope your kids aren't listening, Stephen.
I hope Andy's kids aren't listening either. Jeez.
No. I don't let my kids listen to the show.
Oh, good.
That's good.
That's the disclaimer at the beginning of the show.
I did try the wedge salad about 3 weeks ago.
What'd you think?
So. I thought it was really good, except, geez, I don't think I paid $8.95 for the thing.
Did it come with bacon?
It did come with bacon,
yeah,
blue cheese, and tomatoes.
Some are not coming with bacon these days, and that's not a wedge salad.
Oh, speaking of that, Stephen, is there a Golden Corral where you live?
That's good.
No, we don't have a Golden Corral here, actually.
Does anybody?
We've been seeing spots for this place around here lately, and we have no idea what it is, where it is, what kind of thing it is. It's everywhere, though, now.
It's a big deal restaurant because, I mean, when I was looking for a job a long time ago when I was in the restaurant business, I would go, you know, like Monster and all those kind of sites, and, you know, they were, you know, Golden Corral here, and they were a couple states away from me or in California or something, but I'm like, geez, we don't have one here.
Okay. What's the weather like in Oregon today, Steve?
You know, we've had 50s all week, and it's getting ready to do the rain thing, so that's, you know, that's how it goes here. So
I'd kill for 50s.
No kidding. Oh, my God.
With the dare day. I mean, you hear somebody was complaining it was 10 degrees the other day.
Yeah, it's like that, but we got about 2 feet of snow.
It's fine. What a bunch of pansies these guys are. It's New England in the winter. It's supposed to be cold. Suck it up.
This is the guy who gets upset when his color choices for the throwback uniforms is proven to be incorrect.
It wasn't proven. It was. You'll find out. You'll
It wasn't proven.
No.
Just remember that.
Is that a new sweater, Eric?
Sure.
Well, quick update from Stephen in Oregon. He was born in Nashville, New Hampshire, and lived in Derry for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's my ties there.
All right.
Hey, Stephen, fact
that's
of the day.
That's why you like the cold.
Congratulations for getting out.
Also enjoyed referring to himself in the third person.
All right, hey, Stephen. Yeah.
Just real quick, did you guys talk about the Brady interview on that radio station, I would imagine?
Yep. Yes, we did.
Yep.
Did you hear it?
I did not hear it. I did read a little bit there in the online on the Moby site that I look at all the time.
Yeah, Eric did a fine job recapping that, don't you think?
That was a great job.
Yeah.
Why do you think he went on that station? What was the – real quick.
He had a product endorsement and okay. –
The guy who hosts the show also got the same product as a sample and was asked by the company if he liked it, and if so, would he like to have Tom Brady on because he's a spokesman for them. And the guy said, yeah, sure, and didn't even realize that nobody had talked to Brady since he got injured. So it's kind of an accidental thing, but we were all wondering why it was the Toronto guy who got the sample.
If you've paid
Shady.
For Tom Brady to become a spokesman, wouldn't you want a lot of people to know about that?
Well,
wouldn't we have heard about it before now?
You know, what the F is going on out there?
That's what I said.
That's true, because that gets totally lost.
Yeah.
Because when ESPN picks up the clip, they have no mention of MyoPace
or
whatever.
You know, for good reason.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think you'd want it on like a New York station or a major where at least you get a little bang for your buck there, or on a national syndicated Mike and Mike in the Morning show or something.
Right.
Instead of some two-bit Toronto station.
Well, I think there's more to come with that one.
Get me calling other stations,
too. I know.
All right, Stephen,
hey,
thank
guys,
you for calling
lot,
in.
Man.
Stephen from Oregon calling in.
He said there was more to come with that.
With what?
Does it matter? You just automatically have a patent response now.
What do you mean?
I think we're going to find out more about why.
In the hand?
The sock.
All right.
See now. That was very bad, Andy. That was terrible.
You did it on purpose.
You're being chastised now by Fred.
Yeah. I'm cool if he's cutting ties with me.
Chris with a TIN writes and he says, hey, guys, I have a meeting today, so I'll be listening later, but I wanted to chime in. Well, the man has spoken. I don't know about you guys, but it was great to hear Brady yesterday. I can only hope that his rehab continues to go well and he's on the field in 09. Eric, nice piece on the site, by the way. I'm wondering why he went on a station in Toronto. That's what we've been talking about. As for the Super Bowl, well, not an ideal matchup, but an intriguing one no less. Other than Cowher, who knows Roethlisberger better? That would be Wisenhunt, and I think it will be interesting to see how he plans on playing Roethlisberger. Blitz, sit back in zones, mix it up. It's funny, last week I wanted to see Philly win because the Pats beat the snot out of the Cards and didn't want them in. Now, I hate Pittsburgh, no reason, Paul, just hate them, and will cheer for the Cards.
I'm with you. I hate Pittsburgh.
Yep. So... hey, I'm going to watch.
Steelers.
Is anyone here not going to watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Didn't we go through this before?
What?
Everybody watches the Super Bowl.
Paul, I did watch the AFC title game, so I think I'm going to take the Super Bowl off this year.
Well, especially for you. You like to pace yourself with those kinds of things.
I do. Who doesn't watch the Super
Bowl? Everybody watches the Super Bowl.
Did you see Miller Genuine Draft is doing a one-second ad?
1 second.
So they're only paying, what, $100?
It doesn't
$1,000?
Say specifically that's what it would be.
Is there going to be 30 of them?
No, I don't believe so.
No?
And you can go and see for examples of what they have, like the ones that didn't make the cut for them on their website, I guess. But I mean, what's the point?
You just talked about it. That's the point.
I guess.
You're probably right.
Mark.
People would talk about it.
Mark in Cheddar.
So some guy's going to buy Miller Genuine Draft because I talked about his
you
ad?
You know my theory is...
Paul drinks them in a second. They haven't had in a second.
If there has ever been a guy,
who
has bought a Miller
Lite
because he saw
Miller
a commercial on TV, then I guess I'm wrong. I mean, seriously, people buy Miller Lite because they see a spot on TV.
No, I think some do.
Come on.
When they used to do all those old you know, athletes drinking Miller Lite. I think those
maybe
were
not
effective.
For a Miller Lite, but maybe for effective. Like a, maybe for a new beer that wants to come out.
Yeah,
if you have a, an ad like
unknown
that,
unknown product.
Yeah, then
like
you say,
the,
oh, you know what? I think I'm going to try that
this summer when they all came out with like Miller Lite Lime, Bud Light Lime.
But
I think
not,
that works,
not,
but
not for
I've
the
always said,
beers.
Why does Coke still advertise?
Yeah. Coke,
everywhere
Pepsi.
You go on the planet, people know what Coke is. They don't need to advertise.
It's a waste of money to me.
Although they do, the Coke Zeros make me chuckle.
But no one's ever going to say, you know what? We're gonna be the first ones. We're gonna go. We're not going to advertise.
We're not going to advertise,
and then see what happens.
But
to
it, like, wouldn't
reports.
Now be the time? Like,
yeah.
In the struggling economy, Coke says, you know what? We're
instead
not going to spend $1 billion a year on advertising.
Right. Instead of laying people off, we're going to spend
that
money on advertising.
And we're going to keep our costs.
Because, by the way, it's still advertising.
Right.
If you do it that way,
right.
It's public advertising. Right.
It's free advertising,
right.
though.
So somebody should do that.
Okay.
Yeah, one of those big companies that can afford to
I probably
do that.
Shouldn't be advertising that in a place where we seek people to advertise with us.
Yeah, but Coke and Pepsi?
Pepsi?
Yeah, well.
Major advertiser, major corporate sponsor of the New England Patriots and the National Football League.
The Patriots, yeah. That's what we want Coke to do it.
Mark from Cheddar, England. He says, you were saying about Cheddar last Thursday when you read my email. Cheddar is where the cheese is from, but it also has a gorge in caves. When you come to England for the Patriots game, you should visit Cheddar, though Eric will want to visit Brighton. If you don't know why, think of San Francisco.
or P-Town.
I bought tickets today for the Wembley game and cannot wait to see Brady, Moss, Welker, and Falk light up Wembley. In the Giants-Dolphins game, both teams flew over on the Friday or Saturday. In the Chargers-Saints game, both teams flew in on Monday and held their training at places around London. By the way, great show on Tuesday. I was surprised at how well Paul and Eric did on their own, but good to have Fred and Andy back. With Rex Ryan being HC of the Jets, people have been saying that the Patriots-Jets rivalry can go back to football. Two questions. Do you think Rex Ryan was a good hire for them? I personally do because he doesn't have the defensive talent he had in Baltimore, so his organized chaos defense won't work, which is a positive as a Pats fan. And do you think the rivalry will ever be just about football?
No. I think there will always be a little extra.
Well, now we're pissed at them because they knocked us out of the playoffs by not winning last year.
Yeah, I think
it's always a reason to be pissed.
It'll
at
always
the Jets.
Be a rival. It's
Plus,
New
they're
York.
Always the Jets. You
it's
have a
New York, Boston. It's a division rival. It's always going to be an important game. I don't think it'll be as bitter as it was when Parcells was there or when Mangini was there, right. But it'll still be a big rival. And I think Rex Ryan was a good hire for the Jets. I think he's a pretty good coach. We'll see if he can make the transition. A lot of these coordinators are doing it. A lot of them haven't been able to do it. We'll see where he falls. I do agree that he won't have the talent that he had. You know, for the most part, that it was kind of handed to him in Baltimore. He had, I mean, let's face it, Ray Lewis in his prime. You know, when he became the coordinator in what 2005,
right?
Ray Lewis was much younger,
but he should have
got
Ed Reed. I mean, he has talent.
They do.
Let's
they
not
have
pretend the cupboard is bare.
They have pieces to be a good team.
He can coach. They'll be a decent.
The question
defense.
There will be what they do at quarterback.
Mm. Jason in Boston, do we know when the official 09 schedule comes out? I know we play the Saints down in New Orleans. And I'm looking to organize a trip. My girlfriend's brother lives down there and has season tickets up in the nosebleeds, but you bet your ass I'll be sitting as close as I can, loudly cheering on the inevitable 09 Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. Speaking of the Big Easy, do you guys have any interesting stories from your trips there? Well, that's a story for
question,
another show.
Huh?
Yes,
early April.
Even for us, some things have to be kept private off the air.
Early April is traditionally when the NFL lets the full schedule out. You might get a few games, like primetime games, announced late March at the earliest or very early April, but by the first or second week of April, you'll have the full schedule out. That's the same every year.
These ads are pregame.
Yeah.
The second ad?
2G printed out a story.
Ads. Only Anheuser-Busch has beer ads during the Super Bowl.
Right. Wow, they're going to have they're going to have regular ads criticizing basically the free spending of the $3 million ads for the Super Bowl that Anheuser-Busch is going to have. Mm-hmm. And they're also going to have a gimmick joke ad for 1 second. But you know the guy, the Miller High Life guy, the big delivery man?
Yeah.
He's going to be the one featured in these spots.
He's funny. He's good.
Yeah, it's
not like laugh out loud, but... Like when he goes to the
first one was funny, the rest were just eh.
Oh, I disagree. Yeah. I think one of the better ones is when he goes to the luxury suite and the glass. And I can't hear anything. He's pounding on
the
glass.
I like when he goes to the tailgate
burger.
And the ostrich burger, and he goes over to the other guys. He just takes their burgers. He goes, yeah, smell it.
They're good. They are a good line of commercials. I mean, the man who laughs at a vomiting baby 100,000 straight times doesn't
like
find
that
those funny.
Great,
I do, too, but he can't see the humor in the big black man running around taking everybody's beer back?
Come on now. All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
What's going on?
Come on now.
What was that?
Come on now.
Shut him up. Any way I can, I'll just shut him up.
Who?
You.
Oh.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you next Tuesday.